Three more to go anyway.
Three more what?
Actually, it's nice and snug now. Oh, maybe not so much.
Yeah, keep fucking rattling the microphone.
Oh, like this?
Yes. Delicious. Delicious. What is Kevin doing back there?
Whacking his bag.
It looks like he's taping something up. Tony's getting up and he's walking away. Know where he's going. I don't know if they realize I started recording. Tony's going to get the strap. He's got his championship belt there. Kevin is duct taping something to his makeshift studio wall back there. Tony, we're recording, so just so you know.
Oh, you want me to start streaming?
Oh, I thought you started streaming. Hold on then.
No, I'm going to do it now.
Oh, okay.
Go live.
I don't know what Kevin's going to be mad because we're going live. And he's
why are you guys starting already? Durr.
He's hanging up a cease and desist too sweet t-shirt. Poorly. There we go. He's really working hard on his backdrop there.
You said hard on.
Hard on. He needs a coat hanger.
Cross post to more pages. I always like that they give you this option. Let's see. Overweight Larry wants to host the stream tonight.
Yeah, the Shining Wizards.
Network wants to host the stream. You think the Army of Darkness wants to host the stream?
Sure. If the Army of Darkness is there, do it, buddy.
Fuck yeah.
Do it. I say post across all platforms.
Bop. 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 Okay, we're posting on like 9 pages right
great.
Now.
Great. That's great. That's fantastic. You get all sorts of fun notifications. And we'll do the show. We'll do episode 516.
Yes.
We don't have any guests tonight.
Yay!
Really?
I don't know. Sometimes it's cool for the boys.
No, no, I know. But you may like you celebrate like we don't have anyone interesting to speak with.
Well, we do have a lot to cover. Am I wrong?
Oh, we do. We do have a ton. Who find out who won the picks, the pay-per-view picks. We're going to talk about Hard to Kill. We're going to talk some AEW, some MLW, some New Japan, some WWE, some Ring of Honor, some NXT, Dark Side of the Ring, Kevin's top 5, games, and so much more. I have a fucking tinfoil hat on my dumb head.
Paying off that bet, baby.
That's it. And then
we'll
are
explain
we,
why. We'll explain why.
Are we going to find out our punishment from you tonight, Tony, from the winner?
No.
Spoiler.
Well, the winner's going to probably put that out next week. Way to put the cart before the horse, jerk off.
That's what I do. And that and much more is all next from the mean streets of North Arlington, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Bobby Fish, one half of the world's best tag team, Red Dragon. And you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on the Facebooks. We are live on the Rant, rantiumradio.com, and we are live to your earbuds. It's the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 516, something like that, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Matt, the fucking loser.
I'm the loser.
Why are you guys saying you're losers? I don't understand.
We're both losers. Actually, I think all three of us are losers.
We knew this, but I don't get it. Why are you guys calling yourselves losers?
Matt, you want to do it?
I don't really want to do it because
It is not your privilege, but it's definitely your duty. Go ahead.
After much aggravation, complaining, bitching, and moaning about the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast pay-per-view picks, the 2020 year has come to an end after Saturday night's hard-to-kill Impact pay-per-view. We have a winner with a record of 176-91 losses. The man who hates the pick more than anybody is now your champion for the foreseeable future. T-Dog.
That's right, boys. Give all the allocades to me, baby.
I will give nothing to you. Kevin, how do you feel about this?
Did we determine if it's allocades or accolades?
It's allocades. It both?
I thought it was accolades.
Allocades, baby.
Isn't like accolades what you give someone who like is impressive and wins stuff? They get all the accolades.
They get all the allocades.
No, allocate is like when you decide who gets what. You're allocating something.
Not allocate. It's allocades.
But it's accolades too, isn't? Don't you say like the like if you're like a 5-time champ, those are your accolades.
No, those are your allocates. Matt, he does not. How many times have
you?
You
know what? I think we should just give Tony AIDS.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should give him allocates.
Allocades?
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
What? You need help accolades with everything. Oh, you were thinking of the other AIDS. No, why would I want to give you like Magic Johnson AIDS? No, I meant like help around the place because you're so old.
All right, so Tony, accolade, an award or privilege granted as a special honor or as acknowledgement of merit. So yeah, you get this is a big accolade for you.
Matt, can you explain why we say allocades?
I'm wearing a fucking tinfoil hat. You want me to answer something like that that I don't know the answer to?
That's
why I've been quiet the whole time.
Is this a joke that I don't remember, Tony?
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
Who said allocades? What former guest said allocades instead of accolades?
Not a former guest, but it was during a great interview that he cut.
Scott Steiner.
Lex Luger.
Oh.
Lex Luger had an interview where he was discussing his allocades and not his accolades.
All right, so we agree that it's actually accolades, but allocades is 10 times funnier, so we'll roll with that forever.
I can't believe it's. Of course, it's difficult to find now that I'm looking for Lex Luger allocades.
Is this the video where he's tearing off his shirt and can't get it off? Like
I think in, so. I think
like an indie.
Terry Funk. No, this is from February 19th, 1990. I found that on the Wrestling Observer flashback. It was an interview with Terry Funk where he put over all the allocades that he received in his career.
Of course, it was Terry Funk.
No, Terry Funk was interviewing Lex Luger. It was Lex Luger that said it. I can't believe I can't find the video.
That's fine. I'm sure in our 9 years, I'm pretty sure you've probably played it a few times, and I just have no recollection of it. I just assumed you got the word wrong.
Oh, jeez. I can't believe I can't find the video.
I can't believe the shitty song is still playing.
Shitty song, my ball bag, dude. I won. I get all the allocades, and this is part of the allocades.
Again, the song very low, and it feels like it fades in and out.
Yeah.
Well, I faded it down before, but then when Kevin started not knowing what allocates were, I said, fuck it, I'm turning it back up. I want to enjoy this.
Yeah. How silly of it to not know what a fake word is.
Does anyone enjoy this song?
If there's no surrender, brother!
It's kind of catchy.
It's very catchy. Matt's just jealous. He never came up with a composition so daring yet so entertaining.
I don't have any compositions.
You have a tin hat.
That's right. I haven't even scratched the surface on my compositions.
All right. I'll shut the music off.
Now, I can gladly say, for 2 years in a row, I've come in second place.
Well, Matt,
know what that makes you,
second
Matt?
Place because it's time for the Shiny Wiz pay-per-view picks, the final for year two. Hard to kill. Give us some results, brother.
It makes me a fucking loser, Kevin, to answer your question.
That's right.
Loser. So I had to employ a strategy where I had to pick against Tony.
If you wanted any shot.
I wanted any shot.
I was dead in the water, right?
In terms of, like, there was no... You needed, like, a miracle.
Chance if I completely fucking went an ofer and he fucking ran the table, but that's only because they added the Brian Myers Josh Alexander match at the last minute.
Oh yeah.
I went 4-5 because I had to pick against Tony's picks. Kevin went 6-3, and of course, Tony went 7-2.
By the way, the matches I got wrong, what? I switched after I fucking double thought about them, and I
No one cares. That's stupid. Don't even bring that up because it's not what you picked.
Fuck off, loser.
Why are you so low? Hey,
who, me?
No, why, Tony's low? Real low.
Low?
Yeah. Turn your
really?
Shit up.
Little. I don't think he's that
is
bad.
Is that better?
Hey, kind of low.
Hello?
Yeah, I could like barely hear you. What'd you fucking break your shit? Good. I hope all your shit's.
I hear him fine.
Hope all your shit's broken.
Matt's got to hear me because Matt's recording.
I can hear you, but you're a little low.
Hello, hello. Why, yeah, wow. Why is that? All right, talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead.
Talk amongst ourselves, Kevin. Dickhead went 7-2. You went 6-3. And I went in abysmal 4-5 because I had to pick against Tony. And I did. I made some questionable picks.
I did too, Matt. And I would have, like, some of the picks, like, I had, like, touted that I, from, like, months ago when, like the women's tag title, the Knockouts Championship. Like, I picked Nevaeh and Havoc to win since day one. I couldn't, even though I thought that Tasha and Hogan were going to win, I couldn't go back on it because I was saying forever that they were going to be the first champs, and Havoc and Nevaeh lost. So I just could not pick them after months of some of my support behind them, even though I thought they would lose.
But that's a respectful thing. You stick to your guns. We all got the X Division match wrong.
Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Am I too loud or is it?
No, you're the same. You're the same that you were for me.
It's not for you. It's for Matt.
Everything's for me.
You're such a dick. Is it good though? It's good.
Yeah, it's better.
All right, good. Good. All right, continue. Sorry.
So we all lost the X Division match. Kevin lost the tag match.
I love Rohit.
What else did you lose, Kev?
I probably lost.
Oh, me and you.
Oh, Eddie Edwards.
No,
Eddie
we Edwards. Picked. We picked Taya to win.
We took Taya.
Oh yeah, Taya.
Tony lost the pre-show match.
Well,
and the X Division match.
Tony, yep. you picked against the most professional wrestler.
You know why? Because he was talking shit in the interview before that match went down. So I was kind of like, maybe they're gonna screw him over. But
were you able to watch that? By the way,
yeah, I watched it.
Because it was on Access. You have Access TV.
No, I watched it. I watched it on Fight.
Oh, the pre-show match was on Fight too?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch the pre-show. They had the interview setting up the match, though.
The match was on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
So you just watched the interview, but you didn't watch the match?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, a little weird.
Well, we knew about the match before the pre-show even came on, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. Wow, you guys are weird tonight. I guess because I...
No, no, I thought you were making it sound like you saw the match.
No, I said I saw...
And I was wondering how...
All right, so last year, Kevin, champion, 2019 picks, thus the foil hat. Kevin won last year with a 250-140 record. Obviously, this year, a lot less matches. I was only 5 games behind Kevin last year, and 7 games Tony was behind. Tony flipped the script this year in 2020. Tony won 176-91 record, a lot less pay-per-views to pick, which I'm sure will aggravate Tony going into this year, when hopefully there's tons of pay-per-views to pick. Tons. Now you have to defend your fucking title. I hope that makes it even more misery for you, sir. Is he frozen? I think we lost T-Donk. Which is fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Yeah, you're good. He's frozen. He is frozen. He's either frozen or he's really good at being a mime. If he's frozen, that means we're fucked because he's probably going to have to sign out of Zoom and he's going to close the meeting.
I love that you...
There we go. What happened?
You suck. That's what happened.
How did you become the host?
Because I'm the one running Zoom, silly.
You froze.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
How we were crossing our fingers that it was a...
Permanent thanks.
Yeah, well, you got to defend your title, so I hope that makes you miserable now for 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I, 6 games behind you in second place, and Kevin was 9 games back.
Gross.
69.
Before we get into our hard to kill picks, there's a couple of interesting facts as I broke everything down as I do every year.
I like this a lot.
Fine powder.
Tony was only perfect once. Myself and Kevin were both perfect. Kevin was perfect twice. I was perfect thrice.
Ooh.
Across the board, we all got Extreme Rules 6-0. Kevin followed that up with going 8-0 at Payback. I followed up by going 7-0 at Clash of Champions. And then I went 6-0 at New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. I am also the only one on the board to go 0-for, as I went 0-for-7 at Impact's Bound for Glory.
That was the difference.
Was the difference. I came in last place in WWE picks. Tony had a 73-30 record. Kevin had a 71-32 record. I had a 69-34 record.
Holy fuck. I was going to say 39?
No, 69. 69. I went 3-5 at SummerSlam.
Sometimes it pays to be corporate. You know, you have the inside track, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. Tony took the WWE picks. He took the New Japan picks. He killed in the NXT picks. And that was it. Kevin dominated the Impact picks and the Ring of Honor picks.
Impact expert, Ring of Honor savant, if you will.
I had the AEW picks by a game just over you, Kevin.
That's right.
But there were only 5 companies that ran pay-per-views that we picked this year, so.
So I led 3 of them?
Led
2 of them.
WWE, yeah. New Japan, and NXT.
Well, yeah, you had a bit of an expert in New Japan.
You had a 20-8 record in NXT.
Fuck yeah, I did!
Tony, how many episodes of NXT have you watched in 2020?
Zero.
Exactly.
Actually, I watched one of them. And I did watch. I watched the last one, the one with the cages.
Oh, the War Games. Yeah, that's a pay per view though. That's not the end. That's not a show. Or did you watch the Fight Pit one? The most recent one. Oh, that was 2021.
What?
The New Year's Evil. I was thinking.
I don't know what that is.
It was like a special NXT show.
Oh, yeah. It was special.
Yeah, kind of like the way AEW runs their New Year's Smash. Our beach break. What's it called? Bash beach break? Beach break?
Bash at the beach?
Beach
whatever break. They're running in February.
I think you got it right the first time. Beach break.
And NXT has ran the New Year's Evil. They did Halloween Havoc. They're like Clash of the Champion shows, Tony.
Okay, great.
Wonderful. All right, great. Well, Tony is the champion, and he will reign now for a year supreme. You will not. Have you decided our punishment yet?
I have, but I'm going to wait till next week to tell you guys what it is.
A teaser.
A teaser, yes. And I'm not going to wait a year, and I'm not going to need to be cajoled or pulled into something.
Wow.
What are you taking a shot?
Next week. And you know what? Fuck all y'all. I'm on top. You guys aren't going to fucking do shit about it. I declare myself the first Shining Wizards champion, because Kevin's afraid to take on Kate, and I don't know why Matt's wearing a foil hat, but here it is right here.
You know why I'm wearing a foil hat.
Well, we didn't explain it.
I thought I did. Maybe when you froze, this was my punishment for losing last year's pick.
Picks. And why are you being punished?
Because I lost. Because I'm a fucking loser. That's my name, effing loser. So I gotta wear this dumb thing. I don't know how long this is gonna last. It's starting to make my head itchy.
I think if you talk to the man that told you to put it on, it was supposed to actually be what, Kevin? 3 episodes?
You want to wear this thing for 3 fucking episodes?
Well, that was Kevin's original punishment. I didn't know you could change the rules.
All we do is change the fucking rules on this show. Now, is Kevin frozen?
Yes, he is. Good.
Goodness gravy.
All right, dude, what do we have to get into? Come on, let's move past this.
All right, so just a preview for 2021. The Royal Rumble will be the first pay-per-view we pick, right?
Yes.
So far in the last 2 years, Kevin has a 13-5 record at the Royal Rumble. Followed up by you, Tony, you're 12-6. I, of course, am 9-9, so I usually start the year pretty slow, but eventually I pick things up. So the 2021 Royal Rumble will start our picks season 3. We'll see if you can repeat. We'll see if Kevin can repeat. We'll see if I can claim the throne.
Hey, in fairness, you were only in the lead for what, like a month or two when we did this year?
I think it was a couple weeks.
All right.
It wasn't very long, my friend. It wasn't very long.
Because I did. I don't know if I can repeat that. That was a hell of a start I had this past year.
You came out of the gates very hot, sir.
What was it, like 40-8 at some point?
Yes, you had a ridiculous record.
It's nice to see that I didn't completely piss it all away.
I was hoping. I had my fingers crossed, and I was cheering my little heart out. And then once I saw, what was the match? Well, let me look up the card, because we're going to talk about Hard to Kill. It was the pay-per-view from Impact on Saturday night.
Yeah, we might as well get into it now, no?
Yeah, and then Kevin will pop back in and he'll join us. So I knew Brian Myers beat Josh Alexander in the pre-show. So I had one right there. I was like, fuck yeah. And I think I picked 4 different matches. So it would have worked out where I would have either tied you or won by one.
Yeah, because at the end, it was the last 4 matches on the card, 3 of them we had picked differently, except the last one was the main event, which we had the same.
Yes.
But you needed one of those to pop, and you didn't get a one of them. They all went against you.
Yeah. Well, I gambled on the 6-man, the old school rules.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that. That was a terrible call. But, I mean, I guess you didn't have a choice. You know, that's the boat I was in last year. That's why, like, my last week's picks were just awful, because I just had to play the odds. And of course, didn't work.
No, didn't work at all for me. So Hard to Kill Saturday night, Tony. How much of the show did you get to digest? I know you were playing from behind.
I did not see the Brian Myers match, but I did catch the entire pay-per-view proper.
You really?
Yes, I did. I squoze it in. And we're good to go.
I just want to start right from the top here. What did you think of the new it. What?
I said let's run through it. Go ahead.
What did you think of the new commentary team?
There were parts where I felt Matt Stryker was trying to be a little too smart for the room, but overall a huge improvement. And here's something I learned. Did you know that that Josh Matthews and Madison Rain were married? I thought I had read that somewhere. I thought somebody had mentioned it somewhere in talking about them. Am I mistaken? Did I hear wrong? You got to Google it.
I'm looking it up now, because that does not sound.
It didn't sound right to me either, but I swear that's what somebody had said in talking about the show. I either read it somewhere, I saw it somewhere.
You're right.
Boom.
They are married. Since 2015.
Well, there you go. Tony is the Impact expert, despite what Kevin says.
Ah, wow. All right.
Yeah.
That's a good pull. Where'd you get that from?
I don't fucking remember. That's why I had to ask you. It was so out of the blue. I was like, wow, really?
They divorced. She's been married. Both of them have been married twice. And then she got divorced in 2015. They later that year, she married Josh Matthews.
Well, there you go. Maybe it was one of those work breaking up the happy home kind of relationships.
Dang.
I don't know. Good for Josh.
Yeah, good for Josh.
Better for her. I don't know.
No, good for Josh outkicked his coverage, right?
Josh outcooked his kick, yes.
Yes. Something like that. She's nice. She retired. Yeah. She announced her retirement on the pre-show, too. She's stepping away from the wrestling business to pursue an acting career, I think.
Well, good luck, sister.
And Matthews is out.
He became some sort of behind-the-scenes executive thing or something, I think. No?
Yeah, he's a senior producer. Promotion
there you go.
To senior producer.
There you go.
All right, so we get Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown, which I also agree. It's fucking 1,000 times better than Josh Matthews and Madison Rayne. I knew what this match was to open the show. I don't know. This is a weird opener to me. Tony's girl Rosemary and Crazy Steve against Caleb with a K and Tennille Dashwood. I thought this was a real weird, like, I don't know. I just thought it was flat. It wasn't bad. It was just like kind of there. And I was like,
nah,
this...
there was a lot that just seemed contrived. I still don't understand how Tennille Dashwood was wrestling. I don't think she's gotten any better, dude. There were quite a few times where they were just kind of standing and staring, and I was like, I don't know, man. I agree with you. It was just kind of there for me, too.
Kevin, welcome back.
Hello.
Kevin, let me ask you pop quiz, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Do you know who Madison Rayne is married to?
Oh, I did. But I don't.
Tony pulled it out of his rear end. She's married to Josh Matthews.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, it's not real.
What do you mean? I just looked it up.
There's no way that's real.
All right. Kevin, thoughts on the opening match? Did you get to see the opening match? I'm sorry. I don't want to assume.
Hey, be
careful. What of Hard to Kill?
Yeah.
Of course.
What do you think of Crazy Steve and Rosemary against Caleb with a K and Tennille?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to criticize anything. I think that I love Crazy Steve and Rosemary back together. I think that Caleb with a K and Tennille are fine. I think all the characters work and they mesh because they're so polar opposites. So it was fine for me. I enjoy it. Listen, I enjoyed the whole show. I know I just literally just jumped ahead, but I had no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't, as an opening match, it just didn't do it for me. And I think once you've seen Tyler Breeze do the thing with the selfie stick, I don't think you're going to find anyone that does it better. You know, like the selfie
Steve
thing.
Steve Scott.
Who?
Selfie superstar.
For who?
Steve Scott.
For what, the Elks Lodge?
He's the man. GCW.
Is he in GCW?
That's right.
Like still today?
Yeah, he just came back. He just returned.
Oh, no shit. All right, well, still, it's not better than Tyler Breeze.
Nah, it is. It's better. He's the originator.
He's the OG?
That's right.
Steve Scott, OG.
The OG self-E.
All right. This was a fun match, I thought. I like this six-man tag match. I love Eric Young's stable, Violent by Design. My wife watched the show with me and Aunt Money.
Fuck.
I should have had my phone recording, but the watch along is coming. She said Joe Doring looked like the Fundertaker.
What's the Fundertaker?
She said he looked like the Undertaker, but she just gave him the name Fundertaker.
Because
he's a fun Undertaker?
I don't know. Because he's a fake Undertaker? I don't know. I can't believe he wrestled in fucking cowboy boots.
Joe Doring he adds such a great element to Eric Young's character because, like, you just don't expect a guy that looks like that to, like, listen, there's nothing that super stands out about Joe Doring other than his size, but he just looks creepy. And that works perfect with Eric Young's new group. I think it's Violent by Design, I think they called it.
Yes.
So it just like he's a guy like he's not super jacked. He's just tall. He wears cowboy boots. He wears a cowboy's hat. He wears a man fur. It's just a weird, like, sinister, like, creepy look that doesn't, like, it doesn't look creepy, but it's creepy. Like, that's how it works. And then with Diener as well, it's just fantastic.
Kevin, I don't watch Impact on the regular, but this is the first time I've seen Joe Doering not in jeans and actually in tights. Was this his first match?
Matt, that's a great question.
I don't know.
There's a lot of pop quizzes tonight. I don't know if he had just been doing. And I watch every week too. He may have had a match. I think they may have had a tag match or a match. Joe Doering against or was that against Jake something, or was it Eric Young? I forget. But it's the first time I've seen him in like those boots though. That's for sure. As a wrestler. I'm blanking. I honestly don't know if he's had a match on Impact or not. I can go back to my tweets and try to figure it out, but I just love the group.
Yeah, the group is great, and Joe Doering looked awesome. The reason I went with this pick, Tony, now that I think about it, I thought this was going to be where Cousin Jake gets the win over Cody Deaner.
That's got to be a single thing.
I guess it's coming, huh? So
Tommy Dreamer on the team. That means they're losing. I'm sorry.
Oh, boo.
Tommy Dream is like Silas Young in Ring of Honor in 2019. I like the guy, but he's not winning.
I mean, it's fair enough.
Yeah, but when you put him on a team with the guy who they probably have huge plans for and Cousin Jake and even Rhino. Like Rhino, like I know it was like last minute they had to make a change, but he won the, you know, whatever that Battle Royal thing was for a title shot. So, I mean, Rhino is still plenty in the mix. But I agree with the whole Dreamer thing, though, a little bit.
My wife got a kick out of the thumbtacks.
My wife.
And then she wanted me to, Aunt Money was like laughing. And then she was like, ooh, he has a thumbtack in his butt. And I was like, you want me to text him and ask him if it hurts? She's like, yeah, text him and see if his thumbtack still hurts his butt.
Fucking Matt dropping fucking names over here.
Hey. You got Joe Doering's number?
Joe Doering? No. Eric Young? Maybe.
Oh, Eric Young.
After this match. Oh, I'm sorry, Tony.
That was me.
Kevin. Oh, sorry, Kevin.
So you got EY's number in there?
I got a lot of things, Kevin. I'm a man of many things.
Spoon in the porridge, baby.
I'm gonna need you to text me that.
I wear many different hats.
Not tonight.
No, I just gotta wear this fucking dumb thing. It's making my head sweaty.
Take it off, dude. I don't care.
No!
I'm doing it. I'm just afraid to put the cans on top. I don't want to fucking zap myself. I don't know if that's even possible.
It would be great if you like spliced a can in half, like a soda can, and made those your headphones tonight. So you'd be all aluminum.
The voltage through those headphones is probably so low. Even if you did get a shock, it'd be like a.
Yeah, I don't even want that.
It'd be like touching a doorknob after you rub your feet on the carpet.
Wait, we're talking about him possibly getting shocked?
Shockmaster.
Yeah, that's what he was complaining about.
I wasn't complaining. I was voicing my concerns.
Okay. You're not going to get a shock. It's foil. Just don't go in the microwave. You'll be fine.
Staying right here. I'm right here in the seat. After this match, we get the segment with Swan and Chris Sabin. They're meeting. We got news Friday that Shelley is out. He doesn't have COVID. He just couldn't be there. And he put a video out Saturday morning. You know what, Kevin? On paper, disappointing. When we get to the main event, I think otherwise. So we get the segment with Swan and Sabin, and it plays back to Genesis last week with the whole Rich Swan Moose thing, where Moose quit the I Quit match because he was going to pilmanize Willie Mack, and Rich Swan says Willie Mack would be here, and Rich Swan is hot. He don't want a team with fucking Moose. He wants Willie Mack or Alex Shelley, but he's got Moose. That's what Scott D'Amore said. And Moose comes in and says he hates everybody. He's here to win. He's a team player. He did it in football. He played football with guys he didn't like. But the goal is to win at the end of the day. And then he sits down. I thought this was awesome. I am like all in on the Moose.
Yep. 100%. Moose cut the promo of a lifetime here. The dude's a fucking star, and we'll get to it later on in the main event match, but this fucking promo got me lit for this thing. I was like, all right, fucking Big Moose, he's here to fucking break some faces. I love it. Love this promo.
Kevin, thoughts on the promo?
None.
All right. on to the Knockouts Tag Team Championship Tournament Finals.
Finals.
Finals. Fire and Flavor.
Finers.
Took on Havoc and Nevia.
There's nothing finers than being in your diners.
That's right. What'd you guys think of this one? Everybody loved it.
Oh, I mean, what do you want? I'm not the kind of guy that goes through every match and just like criticizes it or talks about it. I enjoyed both teams. I think Tasha and Hogan are great. I think their stuff, their backstage stuff, their personality is just incredible, and they do everything well. With that being said, I'm upset that I lost this.
I enjoyed it. I probably would have enjoyed it more. I don't know. Like, it was good. It wasn't great. I think that Hogan and Steel's winning was the right call, because them being like little shit heels and like fucking with the big girls, I think that's going to play out to a lot better storylines in the future. And plus, it was just so much fun seeing them fucking beat the big girls, man. Come on. You got to love that.
I'm going to ask
Tony, what about your thoughts on the Knockouts titles?
I mean, they're fine. They look nice. They're nothing super special, but they're nice looking belts. I thought it was kind of weird. Like, they were just like, oh, look, Gail Kim's here and she's bringing the belts in. And hey, Madison, go bring the other belt. It was just fucking weird.
I thought that was cool.
But it was weird. It was so out of the blue. Like, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, look, Gail Kim's here. I don't know. And you see the referee shoved fucking Nevia and fucking what's her nuts out of the ring too, to make sure that they weren't in the ring when they were presenting the belts. Like, yo, you gotta go. You gotta get the fuck out of here.
Not Nidia.
Nevia.
Nevea.
Whatever. I keep thinking Noxzema for some reason. I don't know why I have that.
Zima.
I'm gonna ask an inappropriate question, and for the lady listeners out there, I don't care. Were you waiting for Jessica Havoc's tits to just fall out?
No, but I'll tell you this much. You know how they had the matching like fishnets over their legs?
Yeah, it was trippy on TV, right?
Not so much Nevea, but fucking Havoc. It was like blurry. Like, I thought my eyes were getting fucked up. It was really weird.
See, my wife said the same thing about Nevea and her because it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because we were talking about it during the match, and I thought that Havoc's, because she has the tattoos under her, and you could kind of see them. But then Nevea got in the ring, and it like the way the camera was like, I don't know, the pants were trippy. I do think the right tag team won, though. The tag team, the way they work as a tag team, Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz, they're awesome.
Yeah,
I agree. And the juice was behind them the entire time, like no matter what. And every little program they were in, like every little like backstage segment they were in, the cards all pretty much aligned for them at some point to get these belts. And it makes sense because that's who they were behind. And I think that Havoc and Nevea will get a run. And I still think they're the best tag team in Impact Wrestling, but this totally jives. It passes the smell test. And dude, their stuff with Fala was hysterical. Like, you just go back and watch the stuff with Fala. It's so good.
And of note, the referee for that match, Baby Hebner, made his return to the promotion.
I thought it was where he was retiring. Yeah.
He was leaving NWA. Is that where he was?
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. I thought he was retiring for like forever, ever.
It's like the Titanic. When it starts to sink, everybody jumps off. So nobody wants to be associated with your dead promotion again. It's back to being a dead wasteland. So enjoy.
Well, I don't think it's about people not wanting to be associated with a dead promotion. I think it's about, hey, I still have to make money, and if they're not going to run, why would I work for them?
Good point, Kev. Good point.
I was making a joke. It's the fucking foil hat ruins everything I try and do now.
Take it off, Matt. Take the hat off.
I know. I'm committed to this.
You've done your penance. Hey, listen, Matt, I was the one that laid this punishment down. I can rescind it. You're good. You paid your penance.
No, I'm comfortable now. The cans are on good. I feel good. We're talking Impact. Hard to kill.
You look good.
Thank you. I feel good.
Phil, very nice t-shirt, too, by the way.
You've been following up on the DDPY? Yeah, bro, I swear to God, you're looking a lot healthier.
I have. My wife said something about my arms. She said my arms are starting to look good.
I'm getting those jack straps. I'm going to order them this week.
Yeah, I've been doing push-ups at night, too, trying to...
Nice. Are you doing slows, or are you just ripping
through? No, just regular push-ups. I just got to get, I'm not doing anything crazy. I think I topped out at 7 last night.
Nice.
7's a start, brother. That's pretty good.
But
I don't think I could do 7 right now.
My knee made this weird cracking sound on Saturday, so it kind of hurts a bit. So I took yesterday off.
Should I try to do 7 push-ups right now?
Ooh, yes. Yes.
All right, hold on.
All right, here we go. We got some live entertainment, folks. Kevin's going to do some 7 push-ups. What do you bet he fucks his computer up trying to do this?
No. I think he gets, I'm going to say 5.
Let's see if his form's good, first of all.
All right.
Ass up in the air.
One.
Yeah, he's not even going all the
way. 2. 3.
He might get this.
4. Really all right, it. All right. I like
all
it.
All right, Kevin. Woo!
Props to Kevin.
Oh,
Kevin,
mama.
Props to you, bro.
Look, are you breathing?
It ain't easy.
Holy shit, he's wet.
Now, Kevin, props to you, bro. That Tony, you go over there cackling like a hyena. When was the last time you did push-ups, right?
Me?
No, okay, not
probably college.
You. Yeah, so it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's really not.
So
that basement's unforgiving, by the way.
Yeah, I was sitting on the fucking floor in the living room the other night doing a puzzle with Rhiannon, and I had to get up. Oh my god,
it's the worst.
I felt like the fucking Tin Man. So Kevin did 4 push-ups. Props to Kevin.
I probably could have done 5 actually.
So we talked about Brian Hebner. We see a backstage skit that the K wants to watch Taya's back. Taya doesn't want to help, but eventually she decides maybe it's a good idea. This is when Kevin probably fucking came all over his house, this next segment. Ace Austin and Madman Fulton come to the ring. Ace is pissed off. He won the Super X Cup. He doesn't have a match tonight. He should be in the X Division match. He's like, we should make it a 4-way. I'm like, fuck, this is going to fuck my picks up. And then here comes old Scott D'Amore. And he says,
old camera time Scotty.
And he says
he's got to be in at least one segment on the show every week.
He got paid him bills too.
Listen, I love Scott D'Amore as a person. Incredible. Yeah, he's. I'm gonna make a match now, guys. Yeah. Let me do this here.
And he said he said no to the X Division title match, but there was someone here who's always ready, and here came Matt Cardona. You know it, baby. Always ready, Matt Cardona against Ace Austin. Very short. A Madman Fulton interference case gets us to DQ. Cardona wins. I know there's a lot of people that listen to this that are in the Discord that don't like Cardona. I actually really like this.
See, Matt, I appreciate that because you also didn't hate his spot in AEW either.
No. And I thought he looked great with Ace Austin in the ring. And I don't know if it's one of those things like we've talked about on the Wednesday night show. Like Brian Cage only looks good when he's with a smaller guy that can bump and do. I don't know. It just they look great. Cardona looked great with Austin.
It to me, though, it actually kind of looked weird. Like because Cardona is so much bigger than Ace. And people don't realize that. Like in the land of WWE, Cardona is a relatively smaller guy. But he goes to Impact. He towered over Ace Austin, and him just like throwing punches on him. It looked good, but it took a couple minutes to get used to. Like he more matched up with Madman Fulton than he did Ace Austin. But I'm always happy when the guy gets a shot because listen, no one's triggered the wrestling community more than one word Cardona in 2020 and 2021 gets triggered.
Do you guys remember when a certain somebody shit on Scott D'Amore over the summer?
Oh, me? I didn't do that, did I?
No, I have audio, though. Can I play it for a second?
Yes.
I like Scott.
Mark's playing with toys again. Oh, there's a camera. Hi, I am Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Do you hear it?
For AEW World Champion. Yeah. And this is... What name are you going by now, buddy? It's hard to keep track.
Maxwell, many years.
Got it. Ooh. Oh, wow. Huh. Well, I'm going to take this and tell Scott, what's your boss's name? Scott. Yeah. Tell him I said hi, okay?
Really?
I'm just kidding. Tell that fat to lose my number.
God, I love MJF.
Tell that fat fuck to lose my number. How great is that?
MJF is a national treasure. Tony, what do you think
about... a national what?
Treasure. Tony, what did you think of this? This Cardona.
Okay, you were going to ask me?
I did. I said, what do you think about the Cardona appearance?
Fine. It was actually fine. I'm not big on the MC guy either, but as long as he stays away from the Long Island AZ nonsense, I'm okay with him.
It's coming back, bro. He filed trademark for it. That and the major pod network they filed trademarks for.
Why can't he be Long Island Ice C for Cardona?
Because he's always ready with a Z.
They're starting a podcast network.
Great.
Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
So Kevin's got the inside track.
Love it.
The Shining Wizards will be on the Major Figure Podcast Network coming to the airwaves.
Probably not.
No, every Monday night.
Probably not.
Why
not?
Should that be Kevin's punishment?
I think Broski kind of likes me a little bit more now, but he still doesn't know who I am. I get the notifications of a like every now and then from him.
Hey, that's good.
That's about it.
Don't sell yourself short, K-Dog.
I mean, look, there are no Rantium Radio, but...
Ugh, the finest in internet radio?
Yes, broadcast journalism.
What's it? Fucking
the Shining Wizards Network is the finest.
2006 internet radio? Fucking Rantium Radio? You don't even listen.
Now, thank you.
Who is?
What show?
Everybody. Everybody who's anybody's listening.
Look, I don't humble brag here. I don't know if you listen to the Wednesday night. I don't know if you listen to the Wednesday night show, but Crowbar and John Stamos's hair were watching the Wednesday night show on Facebook.
Yeah, you know who watches Monday night? John Stamos's genitals.
Is that a thing?
Freshly shaved, thanks to Manscaped. You know he's got that luxurious hair here, not so much down there.
Really,
keep that shit clean.
Even after all the yogurt heats.
I got something for the read.
Uh oh.
All right, but we're not at the read. We're still talking Hard to Kill.
That's true.
And I saw on Instagram that Impact said Zack Ryder signed with them. Is that, or Matt Cardona?
I heard the opposite, but I don't know for sure.
All right, cool. We'll have to follow up with that.
Maybe I'll look into it as we do this. Maybe there's some little hidden Easter egg somewhere.
The next match was the three-way for the X Division Championship, Manic against Chris Bay, and if you can't take the Rohit, stay out of the kitchen.
That's right.
And this was fucking awesome. I thought Stryker and D'Lo did a great job telling the story, how it was a brawler against a high flyer against a technician. I could do without the I don't know. I mean, they tried.
I don't like this. And I'm probably jumping the gun, but we can circle back to it. Stryker and D'Lo pales in comparison to Josh Matthews and Madison Rain.
See, now I don't watch the show on the regular, but I think they're much better than Josh Matthews and Madison Rain.
No, they're not. And I'll tell you, I loved Josh Matthews in Tough Enough, and I loved him in his quest to be a wrestler. He did some of that stuff with Hogan's company. Remember that like weird company that Brian Knobs and Jimmy Hart and Hulk Hogan started? It was like Hulk Hogan and Kurt Hennig were in like the main event. Is in Australia or some shit or some European
thing. It was WXO. It was here.
WXW. You're right. WXW. And Josh Matthews was on that card as a wrestler. And then they brought him in as a commentator. And I didn't hate him. He was good. He was really good. Then he got to Impact TNA for a long time. Was okay. Then I started to not care for him again. But then when Madison Rain jumped in and him and Madison Rain worked together, I guess, I don't know, maybe because they're married. Who knows? I don't know, which I still can't believe for the life of me. But I love them. And Madison Rain brought a lot to Josh Matthews' game, I thought. And there's something about having two totally different voices, like in contrast, like that don't sound the same. Like two guys, like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, Madison Rain and Josh Matthews were so good, and Josh Matthews deserves a lot of credit for being that good, and Madison Rayne was tremendous. And now Matt Stryker, who I was never a big fan of because he always tried to sound smarter than everyone else. He knows what he's doing. He's great. But when you try to sound smarter, and there's a lot of stammering and stalling and hemming and hawing and in their commentary, I just maybe it'll take some time to get used to. But I already miss Madison Rayne and Josh Matthews.
Well, but I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, how many shows have Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown done together? You know, if they were just thrown in on this one, do agree. I think I mentioned earlier that Matt Stryker does try to come across a little smarter than the average bear. There was quite a bit of quiet, especially during the main event. But I think overall, I think they did a great job.
No. And if he said, Matt, I had a counter out at some point during the show. How many times Matt Stryker said our sport? It's a great addition to our sport. Oh, this is the best thing for our sport. Our sport. He's the best wrestler in our sport. Our sport. He said it, Matt. I'm telling you, go back and watch it. He said the phrase "our sport" a million times. Literally a million times. He said it 1 million times.
Sure.
That's 6 zeros. No, wait. Yeah, 6 zeros.
I didn't really have a problem with it. I thought they did an excellent job. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I do not like Josh Matthews.
I already missed Madison Rayne.
You know, did a great job, these guys in this three-way for the X Division Championship.
Yeah, they did. I'm a little – don't try and – it's fucking TJP. Just say it's fucking TJP.
No, it's not. We don't know who it is.
Shut up, okay? He's got all the same fucking tattoos. At least if you're going to – look, if you're going to do the gimmick, wear a fucking bodysuit, okay?
Comes out with the same hoodie.
You could tell with the fucking paint on, too. And they were like, "Who? It looks like TJP. Who is this man?
We don't know for sure. We still can't tell."
But I thought the match was excellent. And the finish was hot. And I was really, I was looking for Rohit to pull. At this point, I had lost the six-man match, but I was still in it. I was still set up to tie Tony. But we all fucking shit the bed. Me and Kevin went with Rohit. He's our boy. Tony went with Chris Bay, which, I mean, look, any one of these guys walking out X Division champion is not a bad thing, but Manic retains, and damn it.
Yeah. Yep. I'll never not root for Rohit, I think, ever again in my life, so this kind of stinks, and I love Chris Bay as well. I think he's a great presence, he's good at everything. He's good at social media. He's good at promos. He's great in the ring. He's just awesome. And, of course, TJP is TJP. He's a veteran. He's on his way to being one of the best, you know, lightweights, cruiserweights, exhibition guys of all time. So you can't go wrong with these three boys.
And to finish off the story proper, Manic got the pinfall on Rohit. So if you've been watching Impact like Kevin, you know that there's been the reason why Manic is the champion is because TJP he couldn't beat Rohit.
Couldn't.
Yeah. So he was never allowed
He wasn't allowed to get another title shot. I think that's what it was.
So having Manic pin Rohit after Chris Bay did all the work means I'm sure we're going to see a Chris Bay Manic thing going forward, which is a home run. And hopefully, you know, this elevates Rohit. I think he can move out of the X Division and up.
I agree, Matt. I agree 100%.
We see Tony's girl, Alicia, next. She doesn't want Eddie. She's pleading with Eddie to let her go out there, be part of Barbed Wire Massacre, which we'll get into in a couple minutes.
It was so, like, the last episode of Impact was so funny. She was, like, locked in, like...
a cage.
Like a storage locker. Yeah, a cage. It was just, like... I love Impact, but it's, like, when you don't have, like the funds or the resources to make stuff look really good, it just looks so funny. And she's like in like literally like a cage, like a storage unit cage, and she can't get out of it, and it's like a security camera. It's just it's so good.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
We had our knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo with Kimberly and Susan take on Taya Valkyrie, who was flanked by the Decay. This breaks down real early, and the referee sends everybody to the back. I want to give Sue Young props. I love this fucking Susan character. I think it's hysterical. And then they did more with it on social media, where she has that footage from her phone, and she's like, "I have a problem with the referee." I just think it's real fucking funny how she keeps reinventing herself. The match itself, yeah, I thought was a good match. I wish they had a little more time. I thought they told a great story. But Deonna came out on top. I liked how she put her in that finisher move. And I feel like a verbal submission is a better story than somebody tapping their hand.
Well, I mean, the tap out didn't really come into to play until like semi recently, right? Like you go back to all submissions, like in wrestling, like it would always be like, but you never saw someone smash their hand until like, I think until UFC came around, right. It got really big in MMA. So like the verbal, like, yeah, like I give up. Like there's sometimes you don't even know a match is over in a submission move because of all you see is the referee just calling for the bell. But I agree with you about Susan 100%. It's like kind of like the new age three faces of Foley for a female character, because now you have Su Young, who's Mankind. You have Susie, who's like Dude Love. And then you have, Susan, who's not quite Cactus Jack, but you know where I'm going with it. Her depth as a character to me is so phenomenal, and she's good at every single one of them. So I agree. I thought Taya would win this only because, just like Hogan and Steels, she's involved in everything. Like if you go back to like how much TV time a person gets on Impact Wrestling, Taya is there a lot. So you always kind of lean that way in terms of who's going to win a match. But Deonna Purrazzo is just so good and just so big time player that even though I got the pick wrong, I don't care. The outcome is fine.
Tony, I know you're a big fan of Deonna Purrazzo being the Impact Wrestler of the Year. So how'd you feel about her retaining here?
This was fine. I don't think the result was any question to me. I mean, Deonna Purrazzo, you don't have somebody win not only your Woman of the Year, but your Wrestler of the Year.
Or do you?
Like the beginning of 2021 and lose the title right away.
Or do you?
Have big deals for him, for her. Ty is very questionable. She might be leaving for other pastures. I don't know if they're necessarily green.
Was that a thing?
And she had a hell of a run when she was Impact Champion. And I think Deonna needing this win to cement herself over a former long-term champion, the result wasn't questionable. I mean, Deonna's very good as a technician. I'll give her that. She picks a body part, manipulates it. She's very educated in the ring. There were very few spots in this match where I was like, wow, really? Like the two of them, they couldn't figure this out. But overall, hell of a match, and they played well off of each other, I thought.
Wow, look at that. Tony not only picks champion, but now he's complimenting Deonna Purrazzo. This is groundbreaking stuff.
They were talking so much shit about her. The only match I had seen was that fucking tournament match, and that match was dog shit.
Yeah,
and all four of their faults.
Matt, did you see how scientifically he broke that down?
I love it. If he's invested, he's good. It's when he does the Indian legs and then he punches out. That's when I have to worry.
That was the put your stinking stinky feet out of my face.
Hey, we had to see your legs, dude. Don't fucking shit on my feet.
I got chicken legs.
Kevin loves that.
Oh god, stinky.
You know what
toes
freaked my kid out the other day? I was clapping with my feet like this.
You're like a seal.
You're like a simian.
Jesus Christ.
Like a fucking otter or a seal.
They don't clap at their feet.
Kevin, what
like orangutans clap at their feet.
We got that comedy skit with AC Romero and Johnny Bravo. This is still a thing going on, huh?
I did not realize this was still a thing going on. Until I saw it. Johnny Bravo is such a weird cat, man. And I love it. Now, Matt, was AC? I actually missed this. Was AC Romero fat? AC Romero, or did he look svelte?
He was big. He's still a bigger fellow, but not as big as he has been.
And that was super mean the way I questioned that. By the way,
that's okay.
I apologize for that.
We get that weird little thing where he went into the women's locker room and he found something, and it seems Larry D is framed by a knockout, but we don't know who. And this leads us to the Karate Man and Ethan Page.
Boys, I got.
You had to fucking pick this thing. I'll be honest with you. What the fuck, dude? What in the fuck?
That's a match. That's a big match.
Come on.
But Matt, I don't know. It made the dirt sheet something that he had put. Did you see?
I did. I have it in my notes right here, Mr. Kevin.
All right,
oh,
so,
fuck him, big fucking crybaby fucking idiot.
All right, so this was not... This should have never gotten out, by the way.
What, the his thing or the,
his thing.
The match?
Someone in... And I guess it's okay to say now because it's already out. Someone in, like, our, you know, the podcast, the major... He posted that in the Major Wrestling Figure podcast group. And then someone put it on Reddit. And people are not happy.
In the group?
And people said... People in the group are not happy with the person that sent it to the sheets and sent it to Reddit, and Julian's taking a little Ethan Page is taking a little break from social media, not because of it. He was going to do it anyway, but now I don't blame him at all for taking a break, because someone in that group is a troll and a mole and literally sent out something that was designed just for the people that support, you know, Hawkins and Ryder and him.
So how mad are they at you, Kevin?
Dude, you think I would do that? Yeah, your balls. First of all, I don't even know what Reddit is. I don't even know how to Reddit.
It's Wolf Reddit.
Well, yeah.
Look, whether or not he meant for it to get out, here's the bottom line. He's no longer with the company. What did he think they were going to fucking do? Seriously. First of all, I wouldn't even put the fucking thing on the pay-per-view if it was me, but I get why they did it.
Would it have killed him? Like, listen, to all due respect to Impact, everyone knows how much I love it. Would it make a iota of a difference if they played what he wanted as opposed to what they played? If it was the only pass I'll give them is if it was a timing issue and his was longer. I don't know that to be true or not. It's the only thing.
Here's what I would like to know. Why even fucking bother?
Because they needed time to set up that fucking awful match with the fucking barbed wire and shit. That's why they did it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but during this pandemic era, you could tape shit, right? You could have fucking replayed the Brian Myers Josh Alexander match from the pre-show while they set up the fucking barbed wire bullshit. It could have been cut into pieces just to fit that a lot of time. Now, from my point of view, I knew what this match was going to be, and I thought it was fucking hysterical. It was exactly what... And look, I felt bad the next day when I read this guy kind of like being like devastated, like he had a vision and they gave him this. It's like he was thinking filet mignon. They gave him a hot pocket.
He left the company though, dude.
Look, I get it. For me though, I thought this was awesome and it was hysterical.
Yeah.
And I thought it was what it needed to be. It was quick. It was dopey.
All right.
I mean, it's clear. Just as day that Manic and TGP are the same guy and Ethan Page and Karate Man are the same fucking guy. So there's no possible way for it to really happen. So the way they did it, I got a kick out of it. Again, right. From an artistic, like he had a vision and maybe he conveyed it to them and they were like, yeah, no problem. We'll make it happen.
And he had a whole, he had it all done. Like he had it all like taped and ready to shoot. And then they cut it up.
Yeah. I thought it was hysterical, and I did pick Ethan Page in this just because I had to find another match to go against Tony, and I wasn't going against him in the six-man, and I won against him in the barbed wire massacre, and I won against him in the women's match. I just fucking was just throwing shit against the wall to see if it would stick. By this point, I was already out, though, because Taya lost, so it didn't matter.
The one thing I did like was the bicycle kick.
It was hysterical. That was funny.
You know,
but look,
for what it was, it was what it was. And for Ethan Page to get all butthurt about it, bro, fucking get over it.
Well, first of all, he has every right to be butthurt about it because I'm not even remotely comparing it to the Montreal Screwjob, but if they tell you something and then something else happens, that can hurt your feelings. And I know it's a business, so, you know, feeling schmeelings, but I like Ethan Page, former guest of the show. I'm not a huge Ethan Page mark. I'm not even remotely close to an Ethan Page, you know, fan as a performer. Even though he's talented in the ring, but as a character, like whatever. Karate Man's fantastic. But like if someone tells you one thing and they do something else, they're every right to do so, but it still stings. Like, and so, and he didn't do this public. This was in a private group that only people that admins let in can see. And someone decided to take it upon themselves to share it with the Dirt Sheets and be a, you know, a quote unquote snitch, if you will. And now people are have the opportunity to shit on Ethan Page because of it. And I don't think that's fair.
Next match.
Moving on. We got Don Callis. He runs into Moose in the back. Moose essentially said that no matter who he teams with, he plays to win. So once he wins tonight, he'll go after Swan's title, and maybe he'll show up on AEW and take Omega's title too. Super babyface again. We're going hard with this Moose thing. I love it.
Me too.
This leads us into this barbed wire massacre thing. Now, I didn't know what to expect. I still don't know if I can process exactly what the fuck was going on here. I was under the... Now, I may be dumb for thinking this, but I thought like this was taped. Like maybe this was a no-rope barbed wire match, but I don't know if that's too hardcore for Impact. This was really weird. They had all sorts of contraptions. The barbed wire board wouldn't stay up in the corner. They kept trying to set it up. Yeah. They kept falling down.
You're fucking laughing, dude. Sami Callihan, before the match started, was like fucking had a big smirk on his face.
The match itself was
sinister.
The match itself served its purpose, I thought. It was good. It was brutal.
Is this it? Is this it? Please.
With these two? I think
between
so.
The two of them?
I hope so.
If there's a blow off match, what? This is it, right? You can't do anything more than a barbed wire massacre.
Well, it's been going on a lot longer than I thought it would have been.
I mean, if they want to give us more of this, if they want to give us more Eddie Edwards, Sami Callihan, like yeah, obviously you want to see people.
I'm done with this.
You want to see people move in different directions and develop different feuds, of course. But I mean, I love Sami Callihan like so much. So whatever they want to do with him, that's fine.
Matt, your opinion of the match overall, I want to get your take.
I thought it was good. It wasn't a fucking 5-star Tokyo Dome match. It served its purpose, though. I thought it was violent. I like the pile driver off the second rope through the boards. I like how, ironically, they both grabbed each other's weapon of choice. the weird spot where he knocked him to the outside and he caught himself on the weird chain that was hanging down. I thought it served its purpose. It was good. Eddie winning, I think, was good. And, we have to move on from this.
They had to. I just felt like Eddie was not getting that one victory he needed. And he really needed this one. And I'm glad he got it. A little bit too much with the giggles, especially Callihan. Like, they kind of like were a little laughing too much. Like, even Matt Stryker said at one point, he's like, oh, it's weird. It's almost like a sign of respect. I'm like, yeah, all right. It was a weird spot when they kind of swapped each other's weapons and shit. Like, you figured Sammy would have been diabolical and took a cheap shot at him or something, you know, but it didn't fit in, which is really fucking weird considering these guys are supposed to hate each other. And the one thing that bugged the fuck out of me, 2 minutes into the match, Sami Callihan blading on camera. They zoomed right in on that shit. I'm like, really? I'm like, what fucking cameraman was directing this shit? It was fucking bad, dude. When he's trying to wrap the barbed wire and Sammy's fucking gigging himself right on camera. That was bad.
What are you going to do?
It was worse than Bruno gigging on camera bad. Let's put it that way.
No, nothing's worse than Bruno gigging on camera. Nothing.
Kev, what'd you think of the match?
It was crazy. It was insane. The Boston Knee Party is it's such a ridiculously hacky and corny name, but it when it's done well, it's good. So I absolutely I loved it. It was wild. It was crazy. There were no kids, so it's not the Nickelodeon show, Wild and Crazy Kids, but it was wild and crazy. And I enjoyed the whole show and I enjoyed this match. And I think that I don't know what is next for either one of these guys. So that'll be an interesting thing. We'll find out tomorrow night on Impact. And, as always, you can find me live tweeting at the Shining Wizards podcast account at Wizards Podcast. So, yeah, it was Matt. I had no issues with it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. That's main event time. Before they get to the main event, they announced Rebellion for April 24th.
Fastlane.
If you are a nerdy, dorky wrestling fan like me, then you notice that in the logo, there's a gold star. And inside that gold star is Kenny Omega's logo.
Repeat that?
The logo, it says Rebellion, right? And then there is a gold star underneath it. And inside that gold star is the Kenny Omega logo. So if you're a wrestling nerd like me, and I don't know how they would pull that off.
So are we going to get...
I don't know. It's purely speculation. It seems like a far shot, a long shot, to get Ibushi and Impact.
Oh. Because
that's the Golden Lovers logo, if I'm corrected. It's the star with the old Kenny Omega logo in the middle.
Your boy Matt Stryker mentioned that it would be something else if all the champions came to Impact.
It would be great for our sport. It'll be a groundbreaking day for our sport.
He was a little too much with that. I do agree with Kevin, and we'll get to more of that as this match goes on. But Matt, I guess we're on the main event.
We are at the main event. It was Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers against Rich Swann, Chris Sabin, and my man Moose.
You know, you don't realize just how big Moose is till he's face to face with Doc Gallows. Holy fuck!
You realize how big he is until he gets in the ring next to fucking Rich Swann.
Yeah, but it's funny because Swann and Sabin are about the same size. But yeah, the fucking with fucking Jesus.
I'll tell you what, the pay per view was titled "Hard to Kill," but when I see like Rich Swann as the world champion, it's hard to believe.
Ooh, hot take.
No, I'm with Kevin. I think I said it when he won the title. I'm just it's not.
And
They did themselves any favors putting him in the match next to Moose. Clearly, he can go. The idea of and this is the beauty of what they're doing here, and I don't know where it goes, and I don't know what it leads to, but the idea, I'll fucking fork over another $40 if you're going to give me a pay-per-view with Kenny Omega against Rich Swann as the main event.
Yeah. No doubt in my mind that match would be fantastic, but it's just, there's still that old-school mentality. When you're the smallest guy in the match and you're the world champion, it just looks really, really weird. And I'm not shortchanging Rich Swann at all. I think he's...
Whoa!
Oh, God, that wasn't even intentional.
Sure.
No, man, Tony, it wasn't. It wasn't. But it just looks odd. Like, Moose will be the world champion. I think we can all kind of agree on that, right?
Yes, I think that's the direction they're going.
All right. So, just get there, please.
Please. I thought this match was awesome. I thought Moose looked like $1 million. That fucking... Whatever the Phoenix, what do they call it? The Phoenix Splash? Whatever he fucking did off the top rope with Kenny Omega was the scariest, most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Spanish Fly. They did a Spanish Fly,
yes.
Didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. You're a Spanish Fly.
Unbelievable. Moose doing like fucking standing backflips, like just fucking nutso. And it's still... You had Kenny Omega show up at a Impact pay-per-view with the AEW World title wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt, which is a New Japan faction. Awesome.
What, is that that's an old shirt, too. That's something that he probably pulled out of his closet, right?
It is.
That's
not, it is an old
that's
shirt.
Not a new gimmick.
No.
It was a Halloween shirt, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
Kind of like ours.
Well, I think.
I thought this was awesome. I really loved the match. I know Kenny gets the pinfall, and the announcers told a great story. Like it seemed like the Good Brothers wanted Kenny to get the pinfall. But man, this was all about Moose. And I would not be disappointed if you saw Moose show up on Dynamite in the future.
See, now that's where we need to go, Matt. We just like they did it well with the Good Brothers there last week, I think. But if Impact needs to, like, as a roster, strike back. And Matt, you know how I feel. You know how I feel about invasion angles. You know how I feel about rivalries between companies. If they get, like, an Impact strong presence on Dynamite, with Moose leading the charge, oh, baby. I want to see Moose Hager is what I want to see.
Not me.
All right, great, Tony. Thanks for it.
I don't want to see Jake Hager and Moose, Kevin.
What do you mean? First of all, they're the exact same person.
I don't want to see it.
No.
If you listen to them talk, they're the same promo.
Don't want to see it. Don't want to see Jake Hager and Moose. No.
Same promo, maybe, but I don't think Jake Hager can do the stuff Moose is doing.
No, athletically, no. They're the same promo, though, for sure. They sound like you close your eyes and you hear them talk. Jake Hager and Moose are the exact same person.
Well, then they can't wrestle each other.
Unless
they do some Karate Man shit, and then Ethan Page might get mad.
There you go. Tony, what's your beef with Jake Hager?
Nothing. I just don't want to see him wrestle Moose. I think
who
Moose
do you want to see wrestle Moose then? From AEW.
Nobody.
Wait, what?
Nobody. He should just come in and fucking break skulls and leave. What does he got to wrestle?
And then how does anyone get their heat?
Wasn't my idea. I don't want Moose to go to AEW. There, I said it. I'll let him fucking run Impact. What's wrong with running Impact? Not everybody's got to go to AEW. I don't know what his fucking whole thing is. Everybody should go to AEW.
If the plan is an AEW versus Impact feud, it's got to be more than just Omega and the Bullet Club. They beat the Good Brothers went to Impact and beat the crap out of the entire roster that was sitting at ringside.
Oh, Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., the fucking Jabberinos.
Oh, very, very talented guys.
Don't disrespect the Varsity Blondes.
Yeah.
They're agreed. Jobbers, dude.
They're not. They got a couple wins under their belt.
Oh, wait, big fuck. So Peter Avalon's not a jobber?
He's on a winning streak.
Brandon Cutler's on a winning streak, too. He's not a jobber?
Pretty Peter Avalon is facing Cody Rhodes on Wednesday, bro.
Pretty Peter Avalon is trying to get back together with the fucking librarian. I think the two still kind of have a little something together.
Yeah, Matt, what happened with that? Why is Pretty Peter Avalon not one of the librarians anymore?
Because he took out his losing streak on her and she was done with it.
But if you watched Being the Elite this week, you'll see that there might still be a little spark there between the two, a little sparkerino.
Now, before we get to Being the Elite, can we just talk about the AEW World Champion pinning the Impact World Champion? And does that...
No.
Nothing.
Don't make a big deal like, oh, he beat...
Hold on, dickhead. All right, we do a wrestling podcast. We talk about wrestling. It's not like when you and fucking Hot Dog Fingers did an imaginary tournament and you all agreed on who was going to fucking advance. And it was like, I think he would win. And you were like, I think he would win. Next match. I agree.
Hold up. Time out. Kevin says he wants to see Hager take out Moose. And I said, I don't want to see it. Right. Well, fuck you, Tony. Why don't you want to see it? Go fuck yourself.
No. Not that. It's the AEW World Champion. They'll pin the Impact World Champion. Should we see that as just for what it was? Pinfall during a six-man match, or does it affect the status of the Impact World Champion?
No, it's smoothed in the porridge, but I mean, the thing is, it seeds. They could make something out of it if they want to.
Right, and I think they will.
Commentary sure didn't. Commentary was like, this is a great moment, the champions, and blah, 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 and we'll see you next time. Okay.
I think this is perfect for Moose to say, I didn't get beat. You got pinned. You don't deserve to be the champion. I deserve to be the champion. And there's your Moose Rich Swann feud. Please put the fucking belt on Moose. I'm sorry, Rich Swann is awesome, but he is not, to steal a phrase from Tony Z, he's not championship material.
There you go. And Kevin, I will grant you this. If Moose beats Rich Swann and he's got two belts, then let him go to AEW and say, yo, you may beat Rich Swann. You didn't beat me.
There you go. See?
It ain't There's Jake Hager.
Oh, God. Give me. Oh, all right, fine. All right. So who? See, here's the thing.
Kenny Omega.
Now. Like, the AEW champion pinning the Impact World Champion is fine. I think it actually benefits Impact, to be honest with you. I think it actually makes it better for them because now, again, like Matt, like now tell me a story. Like Matt always says, tell me a story. Now, the story could be Rich Swann showing up on Dynamite or Moose, who is still the TNA world champion. Let us not forget. They could show up and they could beat the shit out of Kenny Omega one time. I guarantee you Don Callis, who has the ear of Kenny Omega and Cody and all that, would let that happen. So you have, oh, God, give me Moose. Give me Moose and Omega at AEW Dynamite. Give me Moose and Brian Cage again. I know they've fought in Impact.
No.
Tony, this is
Moose
a good thing.
Moose is going against Omega. The whole shit with Callis where he wasn't a team player.
I don't think Impact is as shortchanged as people think it is. There's a lot of people watching Impact. Obviously, there's not 800,000 people watching Impact. But there's a good like 300,000 people every week watching Impact Wrestling. And you throw them on AEW, most of them are already watching AEW, but Like, you go, oh, give me, I want, Matt, I want like a all-out invasion. I want like a brawl with Moose and Josh Alexander and, you know, the Motor City Machine. I want Motor City Machine Guns and Young Bucks one more time, man. Just give me that one more time. Give me Rich Swann in there with, you know, Ray Phoenix. Just give me something, baby. I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. Look, the possibilities are endless, and if it's done proper, it'll pay off. I think the beauty of it is they're not rushing this.
Great point. Perfect point.
You know, actually, like, as I'm in and out of the 2001 invasion. Like, I'm right there. I'm right after King of the Ring.
You've been on that for like 4 years now, Matt.
Look, there's a lot of wrestling to watch during the week, Kevin. So if I can find some time to bang out some Raws and SmackDowns, I will. But you know, if you're gonna do it, like think about like Lance Storm, Booker T, and DDP, and Mike Awesome. Like, they don't like, maybe Booker T, but the rest, and DDP, they don't scream WCW. And I think if it was booked differently, like, I don't know, man. DDP as the Stalker was not good.
Oh, it was terrible. And Mike Awesome, had he been booked better in WCW, could have been that guy that could have at least made you feel
right
a little bit better about it. But he was booked absolutely terribly.
It's the Fat Chick Thriller.
And that 70s guy, right? The Fat Chick Thriller and that 70s guy, I think, right?
Yes.
Or is it the same gimmick?
I don't know. They announced EY against Rhino and Kimberly and Susan against Jordan Grace and Jazz for tomorrow night's Impact. And I'm sure we'll get more as we get through the night as to what's going to be an Impact tomorrow night. But be sure to watch Impact on Twitch or Access TV and follow Kevin at Wizards Podcast. He live tweets every Tuesday night. What'd you guys think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle for this pay-per-view. Everyone gives it a thumbs up. I thought it was awesome. I thought they did a great job, and I'm looking forward to Rebellion, which I think last year was a two-night special because it was in the middle of right when COVID started. But it'll be our second Impact pay-per-view of the year, April 24th, and we'll be doing picks there. Tony will be defending his championship against myself and Shining Wizards Kevin.
Just to tie a bow on this, I feel like Impact gets a lot of rebirths and a lot of different things that happen with the company that make people tune in for the short term and not stick around. Like when the mass releases for WWE happened back in after WrestleMania of last year, people were wondering where were these guys going to end up. A lot of them ended up in Impact, Good Brothers, Hawkins, Heath Slater. And then now with this AEW thing, people are tuning in again. And I just want to say, if this doesn't last forever, stick around, because Impact is just, it's such a good show. The talent they had there before this happened, before AEW and before, you know, the releases from WWE, it's a good show, man. And I probably wouldn't have been as tuned in if it wasn't for the releases of WWE going there. I'll be full frontal with that, but I'm still there, man. And it's an awesome time. So just watch Impact on Twitch, because that's how I get it. So I just wanted to tie a bow on that. I'm looking forward to Rebellion as well, and everything that this potential AEW Impact feud has to offer and Impact going forward in general.
And we'll be going forward in general. We got a bunch more to talk about. We'll talk a little AEW, MLW, some New Japan, Dark Side of the Ring, some news broke. It's the 50th anniversary of one of the most boring wrestling matches in history, and it involves Tony's favorite wrestler, Bruno Sammartino. So yes, if you want to pontificate on that hot garbage, we could talk about that. Kevin has a top five list. Tony's got games. Tony, what's wrong? You look like you're really... Oh, the shits weren't wearing off now? We're getting ornery, Tony? What are you, fucking what are you, Ryback?
My face feels great. Bruno Sammartino is still the unliving legend. And you know what? Fuck all y'all.
Do you have halal today?
Halal, how are you?
Did you shit your drawers? I had some plant-based White Castles Saturday night.
And, why?
Wait, what?
Yeah, the Impossible Burgers.
White Castle has Impossible Burgers now?
Yeah, they're actually really good. And it's not the first time I've had them, because Aunt Money, when he comes to the Casa, he drives past a White Castle, so I make him pick them up. But man, they did not agree with me Sunday, and I was like a fucking. It was bad. It was
Please bad tell me seeing. You shit your pants. You didn't shit your pants.
No, I didn't shit my pants.
I had Chinese food today for the first time
in your life.
I had Chinese food for the first time since April of last year. Today.
I was gonna say, okay, how you feeling?
Yeah,
you got the Kung flu.
Like a $1 million, buddy.
All right, Tony. No, what do we say?
Yet. No bats.
Wait, who says it? Who's the whose gimmick is this?
Oh fuck. Oh,
I don't. Back after this, this and this and then this and then maybe some of that and then this and then that and then a little bit of this
and then, this and then that.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like this and like that and like this and oh,
mixy 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 mix. We will be right back
after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you could combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support The Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with The Shining Wizards.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite. Where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot. Where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety. There is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Alan. Oh, yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
I thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Broadcast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking about professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also, check us out on Twitter, at The Broadcast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram, also at The Broadcast Podcast.
Yeah, but we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
All right. We're going to take this time to thank those that support us over at our Patreon. And if you like what you're listening to, head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1... $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And as you go up in tiers, you get more perks. If you hit the $3 mark, you're going to get a monthly watch-along and two bonus shows. We are recording said bonus shows this Friday night. You won't be able to listen to them live. You will be able to listen to them if you are at the Patreon $3 tier. So please, be sure to sign up for that. We're going to take this time to thank those that support us. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Our friend over in Austria, Mr. Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. It's a local brewery here in northern New Jersey. If you need some brew and you're in Hackensack, check out elementary.com. Sean Toe and Sean Callejo. Brett Simonello. Kate the Great Hensler over at ondeckic.com, also part of the Wednesday Night Show, and she does a podcast with Kevin Gill, What's Good Pro Wrestling, available where all your podcasts are found. So check out Kate. She is a beacon of light in this world of gross, disgusting men who are wrestling fans. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the K, J, G. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls, her tag team partner, of course, Kathy Hummer. If you're not up to date on that, get in on it. Mark Parloni. Mark, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
You're like a 21-year-old girl who celebrates a birthday every week. Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and the Yoshi expert over in our Discord. If you want to get in our Discord, just go to @WizardsPodcast. There's a link on Twitter. Sign right in. We have a good time over there on the Discord. Jay Kopp, Big Kopp of Pump, the only worthy member of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks that will support. Fuck Choppy and his nasty feet. And Phil, he's okay. Phil's okay. Phil could do a little more, though, Phil. Come on, a little more hot dog fingers. They have a show every Friday night here on The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. They actually do a great job when it's just Phil and Jay. Choppy's garbage. Get him out of here. Thomas Kops, the Moot Spock.
Mott!
Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III. His pal, Antonio Harsaman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, he's the true prince of pro over there on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. TJ Vegas, the Bergman, the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Kevin. And you know what else I know? Support for the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news for 2021. Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good? Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement.
Oh, yeah.
For all your below-the-waist grooming needs. And I think this is a very important thing that we need to get out there. It's not just about your balls, all right?
No.
You can put the cologne everywhere. I got the foot duster. I came home the other night, and I was up. I'm sitting in my chair after work, and my wife, she walked through the living room to get something. She was making dinner, and she stopped. She goes, what the fuck is that smell? I said, oh, I got to go put my foot duster on. I ran upstairs. I grabbed my foot duster. I went down back on the chair. Couple spritzes of the foot duster. Woo! I let that motherfucker air dry, and she was like, smells good in here. What's that smell? I said, that's my feet, bitch. The foot duster is the way to go. All right? Everyone knows Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your below-the-waist grooming needs, but they don't stop there. Complete with your grooming. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne. The cologne smells great. Oh. With the same signature scent that is in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. Light, approachable, and gentlemanly. And you all know wrestling fans, they don't know shit about being gentlemanly.
No.
All right? So, calming and inviting, this signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling into the anchoring notes of a woodsy, masculine finish. This spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, and 100% vegan. If you even give a fuck about that, and I know there's some weirdos out there that do, a vegan-free cologne. You can put it on you. You can eat it. Low calories. I don't advise it. Don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
This beautifully designed glass bottle makes a statement, and the manly scent is attractive to set the mood. Also, be sure to check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming needs, including the Lawnmower 3.0 trimming and crop formulations. Yes, I'm talking about ball deodorant and toner to keep your testes and besties. And now, you go over to manscaped.com, you throw the code in Wizards, you save 20%, you get free shipping. Then, you screen cap it, or, I don't know, you take a picture, whatever. You send it over to @WizardsPodcast on Twitter, the Gmail, and that gets you in on our January giveaway. Now, we got a Kenny Omega AEW figure, right? And then Tony was like, Manscaped's going to send us shit. They sent us a ton of stuff.
Oh.
Ball toner, ball deodorant, the shears. I don't even have the shears. I'm looking to clip those things off the desk. The body wash, which I use regularly, which I'm going to have to order again soon, and I will use the code word Wizards at checkout and save myself 20%. But you want to get in on that.
Oh, you definitely want to get in on that. And boys, I used it this weekend. Used it all. The nice. Manscaped. Because, listen, I'm preparing to go back out into the world at some point, right?
All right.
I got the first round of the vaccine. Got the second round coming up in 3 weeks. Once that happens, I'm going back out there. So I need to make myself proper, as you would say, Matt.
Yes.
I need to keep myself clean in all the appropriate areas. And I did it today. I did it. Used it. Looks good. Gonna try. It's still early, so I'm still going to try a couple different looks. But I'm telling you right now, once this world opens up, man, you're going to want to look proper. And the only way to do that is with manscaped.com. And it works like a charm. No nicks, no knacks, no nothing. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Everything was perfect.
Can I make a confession?
What's that?
Can I make a confession?
Yeah, when you're done stuffing your face with a sandwich, you fat fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I've finally got feeling in my face. I can fucking eat again, you cocksmoker.
Oh, how did we not even touch on that part yet? Oh, my God. Bother.
It's over, Kev. I'm normal again. So anyway, for some reason, I could not find my lawnmower on Saturday.
What do you mean?
I couldn't find it. It wasn't in the charging case. I don't know what the fuck I did with it. So went back to the old fucking face shaver, and I said, well, we're going to have to give this a go because my boys were fucking hairy as shit.
Ooh.
Big mistake. Not once, not twice, not thrice, but quadrice? Four fucking nicks. I almost had a fucking full court press on them fuckers. Dude, it was bad. Thankfully, I found my lawnmower, but yeah. I'm going to have to tough it out for a week or two while my boys heal up. Well, let that be a lesson. If you got fucking Manscaped, please don't go back to anything else you were using because you're going to fucking regret it, and I regret it right now.
Like I said, to pardon the pun, it was perfect. Like, it was literally perfect. And then I got that, oh, I can't wait for that refined cologne to just make me smell all good when I walk into the restaurant or to the bar or when I go out on a date with a special lady. It's going to be so awesome. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it was a bad day for Tony, but we're okay.
Well, good days are on the horizon because Tony went to manscaped.com. He put in the code word wizards and he ordered up some new of the wares, whatever you need. Look, I need more body wash. The body wash is awesome.
That's what I ordered. I ordered the body wash. And I actually ordered a set of the shears.
The hand shears or whatever it is.
You know, like the fucking toenail clipper and
shit.
The pap smears.
I got one for my kid for Christmas. He fucking loves it. He's grooming like he's fucking getting out there, bro. It's great.
I got news for you, buddy. It's almost time for him. He's gonna be bringing home the strange. Yes.
I might have to get him his own fucking lawnmower soon too.
Yeah.
Use the hatch.
Oh, it's funny. When a 15, 16-year-old is sending the same texts that a bunch of 37-year-olds are, use the hatch, I'm outside. And it's just a bunch of three gross dudes talking about wrestling. Meanwhile, he's fucking just smashing all over the couches. They smell a lot better when fucking...
That's going to happen. Once we get back to Studio A, we're going to be like walking in on T3 getting strange, aren't we?
Guys, we have to do the show in the dining room tonight.
Yeah. T3's studying in the basement. And the couch will still smell better than when old Hot Dog Finger sits on it. I say once every 3 months I get a text from Philly. He's like, go fuck yourself, you fucking jackwagon.
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Oh, God, my ribs.
How's your face?
It came back to normal. I wasn't even paying attention to it.
Yeah, so Tony went to the...
Dentist?
Dentist, yes.
Yeah, where'd you go, to the dentist?
Yeah, well, I just said it three times. Yes, the dentist.
And then for the first, you couldn't feel your face, right?
I can't feel my face.
Let me ask you this. Did your dentist look like Kane?
I yank him.
Dr. I yank him.
But your face is better now.
Yeah, completely 100%. We're good to go.
All right, good.
Still laughing over Matt's line about how the couch will still smell better than Phil said.
Just waiting for the hook to come in now. Yeah. Tony can't feel his face when he's podcasting.
Oh, you get everything. Listen, when you listen to the Shining Wizard, you get everything, baby. You get push-ups, you get a dance party.
That's right.
Since we're feeling good, it's about time to announce next week's guest.
I like your style. Who's joining us next week?
I talked about this when we booked the Christmas episode. Remember when you were all pissed off that Jacques Rougeau didn't call in and whatnot?
It was the anniversary show.
By the way, new friends on Facebook. Jacques Rougeau.
Oh, fuck him. Fuck Jacques Rougeau. Fuck the Rougeau brothers. Fuck the Mountie. Yeah.
Wow. No.
Guess what? Best member of that whole tag team circuit right there, that whole Rougeau family, PCO.
PCO's not a part of the family.
He is. He's Canadian. They're all fucking related. Dude,
I will not stand for you besmirching the name of Raymond Rougeau.
Why? He's a cheap shot artist.
What? Because he hit Dynamite Kid in the locker room? Because
with
Dynamite
a fistful of well, that's his brother's a pussy.
Whoa! Right,
listen, if my brother cheap shotted somebody for me, I'd be like, yay!
Fine. That's fine. I'm not against it, but I got heat with Jacques, okay? He fucking no-sold me, that motherfucker.
We'll get him, Matt.
No, I don't want him now.
I want him.
Jesus.
That's on you, then.
It's the Mountie.
Yeah, you get him, then.
I always get my man.
Yeah, well, you may. You know I got no filter. Don't get the Mountie, Kev. It'll be a really uncomfortable conversation.
That's why I want it now. The first question I want you to be, why the fuck did you no-sell us?
No, the first question would be, what, does your fucking Facebook not work, dickhead?
How does Jacques... I feel like Jacques Rougeau would be the last person that could understand social media.
Because he's Canadian?
No, I love Canada. Bro, kidding me? I have a Canadian flag behind me. I love Canada.
Kevin, I gotta ask, what's gotten into you? A lot of activity over there. You're doing push-ups, you're dancing, you're showing us the flag.
3-day weekend.
I like it. I like a lot of energy. Kevin's got, oh, that's right. Today's Martin Luther King Day, right?
That's right.
It doesn't feel, look, everything's all fucked up with this pandemic shit, so nothing like
feels normal. 100%.
Like at the restaurant on a Sunday before a holiday, you'd be busy. But because we're only doing takeout, it just feels like another Sunday.
Matt, I also slept till 3 p.m. today, so that helps.
Whoa, baller.
Yeah. Slept. I tip my tinfoil hat to you, sir.
I'm not going to lie. This might become, I mean, this is a little sweaty right now, but it's kind of growing on me. I'm not wearing it because I think people are trying to get my brain things, because everyone, if you listen to the show, knows I'm dumb as dog shit. But I don't know. I feel like it's got a little thing on it where I just take it off if I want some change. You got some change?
Give me some. Oh, yeah, you got some change. You could probably put some chips in there, too, or some dip or something.
Yeah. There's a couple sheets of tinfoil in here. I made this little thing before.
I don't think we ever actually
It's backwards.
Went into why you're wearing a tinfoil hat. It was because it was a punishment, but because past guests of this show, Francis Wright, is a crazy son of a bitch, who you have a tremendous amount of hatred for.
I do. I do hate him very much.
So, and he hates you likewise. So my decision was to make, I'm not going to make you guys do something weird or silly or something that could hurt you. So I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's make Matt wear a tinfoil hat so Francis Wright can finally get vindication over you.
Now.
So you were kind of like succumbing to his wishes and his, you know, his stature.
Yeah, no, that'll never happen. Do you think Tony employs the same? Will he give us a punishment that won't hurt us or embarrass us or make us do gross things?
I hope not, because I'm a coward. Like I said, I might have my brother come over to your house and cheap shot you if that's the case, Tony.
Nice.
Okay.
What's wrong?
He's like, bring it, bitches.
But now what's wrong with you? What's wrong?
Well, I'm just sitting here waiting to announce my fucking guest for next week, and you cocksuckers are talking about tinfoil hats and making bowls of dip.
Oh, I forgot we were doing
that.
Tony,
we have 45 minutes left of this show. You got time, brother.
More than that if it goes on pace with the last couple weeks. Tony, do you want a drum roll? You want to pull up? Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
He's got music for this?
And this guest does deserve an introduction. I will give you that, T-Donk.
I got everything. Got everything.
Should I wait
for
the music to kick?
Oh, I thought it was Jive Soul Bro.
You should have waited because I wanted to set the stage. Well, we all know, and this is how we got off on the tangent, that Jacques Rougeau was one of Matt's guests that flaked on him. However, this guest did not flake. Something came up, and this guest could not make the Christmas show. What show was it? It was our
anniversary show.
Thank you. And like you said, everything's melding together at this point. However, I've been in touch with said guest, and this said guest was probably well known to people who have been with this show from day one, because she was mentioned an awful lot at the early onset of this show. And I took some flack for it because we did some early watch-alongs to said guests' early matches. The one and only, and Sparks will fly next week because Kayla Sparks will be joining us here on the Shining Wizards. First time ever. 9.5 years in the making, joining us.
No, listen, I'm excited for this.
I am thrilled. I am over the moon that she's joining us next week.
I am also excited, but then Tony decides he's going to take the CD-ROM that he made in fucking 2001 and put it on the screen.
That I made? This is very limited edition. Matter of fact, you're going to love this. I've got an autographed Kayla Sparks card, and this is going up on the wall next to Nick Hall.
Former European champion.
Now, why do you think I have a European belt?
Listen.
Not sold in stores, by the way. Limited edition.
Listen, we're not trying to age ourselves or date ourselves, but if you've been around for a while, you know who Kayla Sparks is. So this is cool to have her on next week. And if it's a personal dream guest for T-Donk, we support you.
So, all right.
I'm excited. No, I really am.
I'm really excited too. It's going to be interesting. She actually returned for one night only in 2019. So yeah, she hasn't wrestled in a while, but something that's been in the hopper for a bit, and she's available and she's more than thrilled to be on the show. So next week, K Kayla Sparks.
Tony, how available are we talking here?
Oh, well, Kev, you play your cards right. That's get that right. Manscaped order you've been waiting for.
Oh, listen, we're good. Just got to wait till after February 11th. Then we'll be fine.
Okay. Terrific.
All right. That's creeping up a little more, boys.
All right. So Kayla Sparks next week. And what did you say was Sparks Will Fly, episode 517, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, taking place next week, January 25th, exclusively here on the Shining Wizards Network, Shining Wizards Podcast, ShiningWizards.com, Kayla Sparks in the house.
You know what? I'm feeling so froggy. I might announce a guest that we have a month in advance right now.
Oh, Kevin's feeling froggy. If you're feeling froggy, jump, K-Dog.
Guys, February 15th.
That's the day after Valentine's Day. Can I tell you how much I love Valentine's Day? Let me tell you why. Because my wife's birthday is the day before. Valentine's Day is the 14th, and my nephew's birthday is the 15th. So there's chocolates, there's flowers, there's roses, there's candies, there's gifts. All up and down the second week of February. It's
amazing for my household.
Tony,
what does your wife prefer to give her on Valentine's Day?
Peace and quiet.
Well, do you give it to her, or is this something that we need to work on every year?
I try. Try my best.
Bye.
Tony, what would you say is the number one, like, stuffed animal someone would get on Valentine's Day?
A bear?
A bear.
Yes.
A teddy bear.
Yes.
And the day after Valentine's Day, we're not going to just have one bear. We're going to have two bears. We're going to have Bear Country. February 15th, Bear Boulder, Bear Bronson, recently seen on AEW Dark and on Beyond Wrestling, Create a Pro, everywhere. Bear Country, February 15th, will be joining us live together on the Shining Wizards podcast, baby. T-Don, what are you doing?
It's all catching up to Tony now. He had his face worked on today. He's podcasting. Is that Novocaine stinking into your brain?
No, it's gone. I just had to rub my eyes.
All right.
I don't know why Kevin always has to bring attention to me when I'm fucking doing, like, bodily shit.
Well, because it was an announcement, and then there was nothing there, and I see you just, like, rubbing your eyes. All right, I'm sorry.
Do you guys want to talk a little AEW?
Sure.
I said just one of you wants to talk AEW. All right. Last week's show was the big New Year's Smash Part 2, main event, Brian Cage, Darby Allin. We saw the Elite in action, which was the Good Brothers, not the Young Bucks. So, to Tony's huge argument last week when he assumed that the Elite was all back together, it seems like maybe they're not back together. There seems to be a little tension there.
Yeah.
And we do a whole show Wednesday night on it, but of course I don't want to take away your guys' points of view about Impact. All Elite Wrestling. Anything from Wednesday night? Jesus fucking Christ. Anything from Wednesday night's show that you would like to talk about tonight, gentlemen?
One of us?
Either of you boys.
Darby cut a good promo. Was that last week or this week? That was the week before? When did they do the weigh-in? That was a week ago.
2 weeks ago.
All right, never mind. He didn't cut a good promo this week.
Well, this past main event was Darby Allin and Brian Cage, correct?
Correct, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, and Darby Allin. Listen, Darby Allin is a hidden, like we say the word treasure a lot. Darby Allin is a TNT champion. He is a treasure. That match, Brian Cage, everything about it. All good with me, man. All good with me, T-Donk.
T-Donk, anything from AEW Dynamite?
Sting finally fucking got involved. Hurrah.
Sting!
Fucking right, Tony.
Get some Ricky Starks with the baseball bat.
I got to ask what you seem like to have some sort of weird, maybe not intentional, but innate hatred for AEW.
No, not at all. I thought it was a great match.
See, I thought Darby Allin versus Brian Cage would not move the needle. Oh, I'll tell you what, I didn't think Brian Cage and Darby Allin would move the needle in terms of a number, but they went up from the ratings from the week before, despite, you know, everything going on in the world. They still, they still managed to pull a great number with that as a main event. Two guys not named Cody Rhodes or Kenny Omega or John Moxley or Chris Jericho.
Or Jake Hager.
The ratings, or Jake Hager or Moose or anything like that. So kudos to them, man. This is, Matt, I know you guys talk about it on Wednesday night a lot. AEW is a fantastic show to watch every week. It really, really is.
I agree. I concur. Now, maybe not a ton of Dynamite talk here because we do it Wednesday night, but end of the year awards are happening in a couple weeks. Do you guys want to hear the rundown of what AEW end of the year awards? Tony says no.
I do, but I want to ask you something real quick first.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't watch, I didn't watch it live, but I watched it later on. So what happened? So Miro is now, or Chuck Taylor is now Miro's
Young boy. Yes. Butler, whatever. I think they changed it to Seinfeld Butler. Episode. He's now the butler. He is Miro's butler until the wedding, which is February 3rd.
God, you know what? It's so funny how things pull full circle with Chuck Taylor because it was Trent's mom, but like Trent's mom was like driving them around. Now Chuck Taylor has to drive Miro around and that's going to be fun.
Tony, is this what you hoped for Miro?
No, I hated this whole fucking thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I told you.
Why did they change it from Young Boy? I tell you why. Because Young Boy is a stupid designation for somebody who's been in the business as long as Chuck Taylor's been in it. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Yeah, but it makes sense though because
I don't care if it makes sense. I hate it.
I think Chuck Taylor would appreciate it.
Astrophysics makes sense to certain people, Kevin. I don't like that shit either.
All right.
Well, Kevin, you want to aggravate Tony some more?
What else can we talk about?
Listen, Matt, I feel like all I have to do is breathe and Tony will be aggravated by something.
Well, the AEW Dynamite Awards are going to stream on the
Bleach. Wait, we're not finished talking about the Bash last week. What else happened? What else happened?
There was the terrible, and it was bad, the Cody segment with Britt.
Oh, my God, Matt. Thank you so much.
God.
God, this is going to sound so terrible. This was the worst thing I've ever seen, Matt. Absolutely the worst.
Oh, Kev, every week you're on the show and I hear you bashing AEW. Do you do it on purpose?
Yes. Yes, Tony, I do. That's a great retort, by the way.
No, it was terrible.
I don't understand why they feel the need to do the stuff that they thought that they would never do, like to differentiate themselves from everyone else. Now they have these, you know.
You get it. Kevin fucking got it. Write it down. 844, January 18th, 2021. Kevin finally gets it. They're not doing anything any differently, Kevin. And that's why I get pissed off at AEW. They're supposed to be the better company. They were going to change the industry. They were going to do everything revolutionary. What are they doing to revolutionize the industry? They're copying WWE. Yes, Matt.
If I may just stop your tangent for a minute, I do have the TV box on, and I am watching the newly added wrestling challenge that was just put on the WWE Network. You want to talk about game-changing. There was just a segment on the Rougeau Brothers where they were water skiing.
Yeah, because they were trying to find a place to live in the States, right?
What a way to introduce a tag team. And now, 1986, Terry Gibbs and a very young Jack Foley.
Yes, against the British Bulldogs?
Let me see. No, the Killer Bees.
All right. We got Tony back. We got Tony back.
B. Brian Blair used to do this shit when he used to jump off the top. Like, he had wings. Like, fuck. Idiots.
All right, so yes, this segment, what do they call it? What's Britt Baker's thing? It was garbage.
The waiting room.
It was fucking terrible. Cody barely got any words out. I don't give a fuck about Jade Cardell and Velvet, Red Velvet. What? Who gives a shit?
Zero fucks given about either one of them.
It was just bad. Like, don't promote Cody's going to be on it, and then he says zero words, and then there's all this dog shit. It was bad. Yeah. No, you said it right, Kev. It was bad.
I appreciate them trying to get like Red Velvet like some mic time and, you know, if they're trying to build her as something, okay, this is where you want to do it. Cody's there. But I just hate the idea of these forced like studio segments that worked great a long time ago. They worked great. And they might still work today, but if you are supposed to be different, if you are supposed to not do what the other company does, and hey, listen, WWE's been around for a long time for a reason. So if you want to take a couple things from their apple orchard and you want to pick a couple apples from them, fine, because they've been around forever. But this is just like, this was too much. This was too hokey for me. And just didn't, it didn't work. It did not work.
No, it was bad. And the waiting room is good on Dark. It's not like Piper's Pit. Don't think I'm saying it serves its purpose on Dark though. It's funny. It's entertaining. This just seemed like they're trying to stick 10 pounds of shit in a 1 pound bag. Like there was so much going on. I just hated it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you.
Pac beat Eddie Kingston, and then there was the weird Lance Archer Pac showdown, which is fucking that gives me a wrestling boner because I would love to see Pac and Lance Archer clash. Yeah.
Big time.
We talked about Miro beating Chuck. The Elite beat Danny Limelight and the Varsity Blondes. What is this?
What's what?
What is this garbage?
What are you talking about?
Why?
Oh, no. I know exactly what it is.
So do I.
I know exactly what it is.
I don't know what you mean.
Why? Why would you admit this fucking hand job? Why?
What are you talking about? Who did I admit?
I can see it says fucking Francis Wright is connecting.
Oh, boy. I think he may have picked up a few things because of the top.
Oh, no, I understand. Well, Kate, the not so great, was, you know, fucking screen capping it, putting it on Twitter, and now this fucking jack wagon calls in. What do you want? You're interrupting the fucking show. Speak, stupid. Let's go.
Where's the Miko?
Fucking hang up on him. He's wasting my time now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess we're going to have
to. Fuck out of here, Francis Wright, you fucking asshole. Hit the fuck, hang up on him.
I'm trying. I can't find the button. Hold on.
If you want, fuck out of here, you fucking dickbag. Piss me off.
All right, I'm trying. Hold on.
Yeah, well, anyway. What?
I don't know what the
What is this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why would you accept?
Here we go.
Guys, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Francis, yes. Welcome.
I'm sorry, I have to be really discreet. So a little bit ago, somebody found out where I lived.
Shut the fuck up.
Let him talk. Let me talk. You're so rude.
Oh my, no one invited you.
Anyway.
Die.
Recently, somebody found out where I live, so I had to burn my house down, and now I'm living in some stranger's attic, but they don't know that, so I have to be very discreet.
You did it wrong. You should have been in the house when you burned it down.
Hey, that is no way to speak to your guest. Especially when you have your mind control protection. I thought maybe you'd be thinking good thoughts instead of all the bad thoughts that you normally think.
First of all, I didn't invite you. Okay, secondly, I lost a bet to Kevin, so he made me wear this dumb fucking thing.
Well, your buddy Tony invited me. Tony loves me. Don't you
love
me, Tony?
Wow.
I love Francis. Absolutely.
If you look hard enough, you can see where the bus just ran over Tony as you fucking threw him under it.
I'm not throwing Tony under the bus.
You just said he invited you, so now I know. Now I know who to blame for fucking bringing the show down.
No, this is bringing the show up. Listen, I said, what did I say in my congratulations for the 9 years?
I don't know. I didn't listen.
Tony's great. Congratulations, Kevin's okay. You, they need to get rid of you. You know what's bringing the show down? You. You and all your negative thoughts.
You know what?
That's not possible.
I am like herpes. You cannot get rid of me.
Well, we can get rid of you. It's actually in the works. You know, I mean, nobody knows it. It's really my plan and my plan only. But you're going to be gone, and then I'm going to replace you. We're going to talk about a different topic every week. We're going to talk about the crop circles 1 week, the flat earth the second week.
Can you cover the food that makes Tony shit his pants?
Ooh. I could. I mean, you can't trust anything that you buy at grocery stores anymore.
Well, he doesn't go to the grocery stores. He goes to, like, the halal guy.
Halal.
You can't trust any restaurant that you go to. That's why me personally, you know, of course I eat tinfoil. Why wouldn't you? You know what I'm talking about? And as far as drink, my drink of choice is honestly my own urine, because that's the, you know, the things that are naturally in your body. That's the only thing that you can really trust. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. See? Well, whoever said that? I don't know who said that, but they agree with me.
No, I didn't.
I'm even trying to protect Francis as well from here, because I don't want my mind screwing up his mind either, because I know he's
don't worry. His mind is already screwed up.
You look like one of those old characters from Sesame Street. Yep.
Kevin, there you are. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, pal?
What's up? Hey,
That's, oh my God.
Is that the owners of the house? I mean, if I see the owners of the house drive through, I need to skid out.
Who drives through their fucking attic?
Listen, you don't have a mind as powerful as mine. You don't think these things through. Listen, because everybody wants to stop me. So what if they caught on to the fact that I'm in their attic and they're like, you know what? I'm going to build a ramp, okay? I'm going to fly it to the non-existent moon, and then I'm going to come back down and I'm going to crash right into the attic. You know, because then they scam the insurance companies, the home insurance companies, and then they try to destroy me, but they're not going to be able to do it. Because as they land on this hat, see, this is the benefit. If somebody tries to drive a car through their roof onto you, okay, you have that mind control protection to protect you. They're just going to bounce off your head and you'll be completely fine.
I hope that you stub your fucking toe so hard while you're walking around your apartment in the dark right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like some jack wagon fucking. Yeah. I hope Tony's fucking. He already threw you under the bus. He said you invited him, so.
You hope me?
Yeah. I hope they mind control your brain.
Never happened.
You don't have a tinfoil hat on? I have a fucking tinfoil hat on.
Who says that he doesn't have a tinfoil hat on? Maybe he's taking my advice of just taking the tinfoil and just, you know, shoving it into his ear. I do that all the time when I have to go undercover, you know, when I go out there into the world.
Undercover.
I do that all the time. Because the people see the tinfoil hat, they know me, you know, I'm the only smart person who wears the mind control protection. You wear your mind control protection for this episode, but you're not smart. They'll recognize me, so I got to go undercover, you know. God. Take a tinfoil hat off, maybe put some glasses on, maybe put a hood on. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Francis, since Tony has decided to ruin the show and invite you on, how was your holiday?
Oh, my holiday was great.
Good.
My holiday was excellent. You know what I did?
Nope, but you're going to tell me, though.
Yeah, I am going to tell you.
Hold on. Before you tell me, Francis, fake tree or real tree?
No tree. You want to know why?
Why? What are you, Jewish?
No. It's not about politics. It's not about any of that.
No, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, if you don't get a tree, then you have a menorah, no?
No. Because they tell you, oh, you know, you need trees to have oxygen to breathe. That's not true. The same chemicals that they put in the chemtrails, they put in the trees. They get you dependent on trees. They make you think, oh, you know, you need trees for oxygen. You need trees to live.
A list of things I wanted to talk about, and you invited this fucking jack wagon onto the show.
Listen, you're wearing your mind protection hat.
I lost a bet. I'm a man of my word.
Did you or did you not say that you're starting to enjoy wearing that hat? Kevin, didn't he say that?
I did say that. I was, but it's not because of mind protection.
Yes, it is. You just don't get it.
Don't you just overall feel lighter throughout this entire episode? You feel lighter. You feel cleansed.
No, I feel, don't you? I feel sweaty. Let me ask you. You put tape on the inside of your hat?
No, because my mind is so powerful that it just sucks it in. See, maybe that's your problem. You're getting all sweaty. First of all, the sweat, that's actually the bad thoughts leaving your mind.
Okay? Matt's mouth is so powerful, he sucks it
up. All the, you know, hente, all of this tentacle porn that you watch, that's that leaving your mind. That's first of all. Second of all, it's because your mind isn't powerful enough, it keeps falling off. It never falls off of me because my mind is so powerful, it just sucks it. Wait, hold on, Tony. Did you say something about your mouth sucking something?
That was Matt. His mouth is always sucking things in.
I see. Well, I was just about to say maybe you need another purification song, but I see somebody was playing it in the background.
I've got it going right now. Why wouldn't I? Because Matt needs all the help he can get.
Oh, of course. He needs all the help he can get. But to answer your question, no tree. In fact, that's what I did. I'm glad you brought the tree thing up, because that's what I did on Christmas. I went to every house, stole the trees, you know, sold the trees and got rid of them.
Were you at did you participate in the Camp Leapfrog the other night? Are you involved in that Camp Leapfrog stuff?
Well, I'm involved in the Camp Leapfrog stuff. Let me tell you about it. Let me give you a rundown. Okay.
And before you spew whatever nonsense is going to come out of your mouth, just know the professional wrestling journalist that I am. I know that you're involved in this Camp Leapfrog. So I'm going to take the chicken shit that Tony gave me when he piped you into this fucking show and ruined it. And I'm going to turn it into something. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to Barry Horowitz myself right now.
Knock off
my headphones.
Aren't you clever? Aren't you so great?
That's because I have on the tinfoil hat, dickhead. Enjoy.
See, in ways you are realizing how right I am. Eventually you'll come around. What I want you to do...
Here. You don't want me to come around?
I'll give you the super secret message while you're sleeping, and then everything will just make total sense.
I don't want you near me when I'm awake. You think you're going to get near me when I'm sleeping?
I know your address. I know your address?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because Tony gave it to me, and I'm showing up there tonight.
Sorry, man.
Look, it ain't my fucking problem, bro. I'm just letting you know. I'm not the one you have to worry about.
Since me last time about how, if you show up at my house, my wife's going to have a problem with that. Listen, if I show up at your house, you're not going to have a wife anymore because she's coming to me. You got that?
Oh, damn. Holy shit.
Yeah, you think your show's going downhill, but you just had the roast of the entire show. The history of the show, that's the best source you ever got.
No, this show has crashed and burned. This is like fucking 9/11.
Yeah, you're the two idiots with the hats on.
The thermite.
Who are you calling an idiot, Tony?
He fucking got you dickhead.
Oh. It just came out, I'm sorry. I love you. You know this.
You know what?
See, at least I'm transparent. There's no fucking hiding behind bullshit like Tony. He just called you an idiot.
No, you're the one with bullshit. Let me tell you about Tony. Tony, he's working on it. He's pretty good. He's just not as smart as me. He doesn't realize how good I am. Yeah, he realizes I'm pretty good and I'm pretty smart. He just doesn't realize the level of genius. And to go over the level of genius, I'm going to talk about Camp Leapfrog, okay? At things that go bump in the rig, their Halloween special. A bunch of show campers used a Ouija board to bring back monsters from the dead. Now, who was the first person to uncover that? It wasn't the alleged heroes of the episode. It was me. And yet I was overlooked. Nobody thanked me, okay? At the first Leapfrog Live, Sam Laterna's slumber party.
Shut the fuck up!
Oh, you think you're so clever
with
me. You think you're so clever.
Shut the fuck up!
Think you're so clever. Why do you have to, let me ask you a question. Why do you have to be so demeaning? Even if you disagreed with me, why do you have to be so mean? You can just say, I respectfully disagree with you and move on. You want to know why you're so disrespectful? Because you're a puppet of the Illuminati. Who has you in their back pocket?
Didn't want you on the show tonight.
Who is it? Is it Barack Obama?
No.
Who has you in their back pocket? See, he doesn't want to say. He's going, stutter.
No,
Brock Lesnar.
I just didn't have anything funny.
Well, yeah, because you're not a funny person.
All right.
Anyway, at Sam Laterna's slumber party, I won the match. And yet, nobody wants to acknowledge it. The record books say that I lost. I've tried to get it overturned, and yet it hasn't happened. So it just shows that I'm being slighted. It's because I'm a hero, and everybody wants to be against me. When I started uncovering the truth, I thought it was just going to be a matter of, Francis Wright, that makes total sense. And I was going to be the hero that wrestling needed. I was going to be as big as Stone Cold Steve Austin ever was. And instead, everybody hates me. And why? I don't get it.
It's awful. It's just awful. I apologize for Matt's behavior.
Oh, do you?
I apologize for everything that happened to you at the Halloween Havoc. It's terrible.
It is terrible. But you know what? In regards to Camp Leapfrog, I got my eye on Camp Love Frog. Have you heard? Main event, Still Life with Apricots and Pears versus Effie? That's happening. I have my eye on that show. And maybe I need to come back. Maybe I need to come back to get a little vengeance from the way that I've been treated there. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, go nuts, buddy. Do whatever you need to do.
Okay.
And if you ever need to vent, you have an open
box. No. Lose the number. Lose your phone. The government's tapped into you, bro. They know. They just got a text message from the security of the United States of America. They've located you. You've been had. So, Jack Bauer, that shit, bro. Get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever you say. Whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah, whatever you say, Matt. Shame on you.
No, yeah. No. Shame on you.
I, you don't have the power. Tony has the power, and he says that he wants me on. You know what? I think I'm going to come to this platform next week, and then the week after that, every week thereafter, and slowly but surely, you're going to grow the audience with me, and they're going to realize, you know what? Francis Wright does need to be the third man. You know what? This show right now, this is the start of Matt's departure from this show.
Probably.
Hi, Matt.
Let me ask you this,
God,
Francis.
No. Please, God, no. Please, God.
What's your knowledge on Kayla Sparks?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, she's the guest next week, so if you're going to join us, you better come correct. Because I don't know shit about Kayla Sparks. This is Tony's interview. But if you're going to fill in for me or take my place or whatever crazy nonsensical bullshit is falling out of your mouth, you'll have to know about the legend Kayla Sparks.
Wouldn't you like to know what I know about Kayla Sparks? But I'm not telling you.
Do I have to tune in next week?
Maybe you have to tune in next week.
No, I'm
not going to tell you because you're untrustworthy.
No, here, look, Francis, the first rule of you don't know maybes. You got to sell people to come back next week. You'll have to tune in next week.
Government official, do you jerk off?
Do I jerk off?
Just to be able to do this show where you can spread your lies. Who is it?
Wait, I heard, do I jerk off?
No, what government official do you jerk off to be able to have this platform to spew your bullshit?
All of them. I'm like a circus seal, bro.
That's why he calls him Jerkin' Joe Biden.
That's right.
Well, that's a different story.
They call me Two Hands Matt.
There's a fanfic for that. You know what? Everybody listening to this, I want you to create your best Francis Wright fanfiction, and I want you to send it to Matt. And actually, this is a great idea. Tony, everybody send their Francis Wright fan fiction to Matt and force him to read it on the Shining Witches podcast. I don't care what episode it is. I don't care. I don't care when you do it.
If people send us Francis Wright fan fiction, Matt will definitely read it. 100% send it to wizardspodcast@gmail.com.
There you said it. Tony said 100% Matt will read it on the show. Send it. So send it, everybody.
Yes, and I will also 100% I will 100% wipe my ass with it, too.
Are you going to read it, though, first?
No.
I'll read it. I don't care.
Of course you will. Clearly, you don't care because you added this idiot to our show tonight.
All right. Well, before you insult our guest anymore, I'm just going to ask him if he has any parting words. So this way we could, you know, move on with our night and let him get to safety, for God's sake.
I hope the insulation in the attic makes you so fucking itchy that you fall through the floorboards and fucking... Okay. I don't know, break a spleen or something.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to let you talk to me like that.
I didn't invite you onto the show!
The purification song didn't work. The tinfoil hat didn't work. Maybe we need the combination. So everybody's going to put their hands to the screen.
No.
And here we go. You know what? Whatever. My voice is so powerful, so angelic, it'll work anyway.
You know what? I would put my balls on the screen if this was on Facebook.
I'm going anyway. I don't care what you're saying. Oh my God, it's the owners. Okay, I gotta go. I can't finish. I gotta go. Goodbye.
Well, Francis, be safe, man. Get out of there.
Sounds about right. You can't finish. You motherfucker.
Listen, it's not my fault. You got the hat on.
It's not your fault. You invited this fucking loser onto our goddamn podcast in the middle of a wrestling conversation. I have 16 pages worth of shit I gotta talk about.
All right, well, get to talking.
Yeah, get to talking. Get to go fucking yourself.
We can skip the top five tonight.
No, we cannot.
All right, well, since we just had dog shit on the show, tell me about MLW, Tony.
Oh, Jesus. You want to talk about dog shit. Look, Von Erichs for life. Love them boys. Great guests. Great people. I'm still going to look them up when I go to Kauai. This fucking main event was the shit. Oh, my God. Look, I understand you want to back the Von Erichs against the wall. You want to book them against Los Parks. You want to make Filthy Tom the special referee. You want to stack the deck against them. Dude, did you get a chance to watch it? Overbooked complete nonsense. It was L.A. Park and his son, but then it was the other son who was dressed as L.A. Park. He hid under the ring for some nonsense. Tom Lawler was doing fast counts, then slow counts, then no counts. Dude, it was way too much. It didn't have to be as overbooked as it was. Like, they just put way too much shit into this story. It would have been easier if they just got fucked, and then it would have been like, okay, they got fucked, let's do something about it. But my God, dude.
I mean, when they announced this and they said Tom Lawler was going to be the referee, you had to know this was going to be fucking Smosh City.
But to have the third LaParque under the ring to get involved, you didn't need it. To have the extra bullshit where, like, Tom wasn't looking, you didn't need it. It's like, if you're going to fuck him over, just fuck him over and get it over with. It was bad, dude. And Mil Muertes made his debut in a match with Pillman. Mil Muertes is not looking like he's in good shape either, bro. I don't know. Like, were you impressed by this match? Did you get a chance to watch it? Because
I didn't see it, so I'm not going to lie.
I mean, look, it was fine for the story they were telling. Like, Pillman was trying to take him down. He couldn't do it. He had to work extra hard to make some leeway. But I don't know, man. Mil Muertes just wasn't fucking turning the dial for me, dude. I don't know.
I see that Loki squashed a dude.
Yes, he knocked out some fucking fat slob. That's right. I forgot about that. Blink and you'll miss it moment just to reestablish Loki as a killer.
It looked like there was a Leo Rush segment, and then Jordan Oliver called out Contra.
Yeah, so of course, Jordan Oliver wants to get on Contra. He's been calling out what's-his-nuts for a while, Simon Gotch. Hammer, of course, wants...
Kruger.
Wants Jacob Fatu. I don't remember if there was anything else that was about it.
Next week,
ACH takes on Jacob Fatu.
Right, Mads Kruger challenged Hammerstone for the National Openweight title.
Yeah, so we're moving on with that. So who knows? I mean, if Mads winds up winning the belt, I could see then that Hammerstone winds up moving up. But I don't know. Like, do you take the belt off of Hammerstone? I just don't know. Just a fucking weird episode of MLW. I wasn't crazy about it at all this week. And that main event was fucking awful.
If he's going to beat Fatu, then you have to take the title off of him, no?
I don't know, because he's been the only national openweight champion. So maybe they kind of want to... Look, I don't know what MLW is going to do. Like, how many guys do they really have on their roster anymore? You know what I'm saying? So is it going to be a thing where, like, maybe he wins the world title and they just kind of get rid of the national openweight title? I don't know.
Rich Bocchini told Selena that the Promociones Dorado had been acquired.
That's right. Lucha Az- the Promo Azteca? Something like that? Yeah, they had mentioned it. So... I don't know if that means we're going to have some sort of, AAA, like, Lucha Underground crossover. I don't really know what that means, but we'll see how that plays out.
But you said Fatu ACH next week, right?
Yes. And on the 15th, I think we're getting Filthy Island. So Filthy I don't know what Island. That's going to be, but Tom Lawler's Filthy Island is going to premiere. So maybe we'll get some more Dominic Guarini without his fucking gi on to make Matt happy.
Nice. I'll take it.
There you go.
Let's move along. Kevin, any MLW questions?
None, because I didn't watch it.
Beautiful. New Japan Pro Wrestling announced that the New Japan Cup tournament will be back in March. It will kick off March 5th. So the tournament that kicked off New Japan after the pandemic is going to happen on March 5th. And I think I was telling you guys they're doing the road to new beginnings now. It started... Sunday morning.
Yeah, and you said that they're shortened shows because they're still under like heavy quarantine.
They're under a state of emergency, so you can't be out past 8 o'clock. So all the shows are only 2 hours, 5 matches, 2 hours. Kevin Kelly's there; he's doing commentary by himself. They're awesome to watch. Nothing super groundbreaking. It's really setting up for the last couple nights where you're going to get. Sonata against Ibushi. You're going to get Tanahashi against Shingo. They're setting up El Fantasmo and Taji Ishimori to challenge for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight titles against El Desperado and Kanemura. It's looking like Sho and Hiromu is going to be a match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. And there was talk that Ibushi wants to combine both titles because you're always defending both. And the Intercontinental Championship doesn't, not the Intercontinental, the.
Yeah.
The well, I don't want people to think I'm talking WWE here. The Intercontinental, the IC, the New Japan IC title does not have this, like, storied lineage. We talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. Like, MVP won the first tournament in, like, 2004, 2006. So, like, to get rid of it, and the idea that Kevin Kelly hinted at during the show was that if they combine both titles into one, then the Never Openweight title would be like that main secondary title. Not the main. Right. It would be those two titles, the junior heavyweight and the Never.
What about the U.S.?
You know what? He didn't mention that. And just, I guess, because
nobody should. That belt sucks.
No. This is a great predicament. It's so weird. Like, if you're going to eliminate one of the belts, do you really go Intercontinental?
Well, I mean, the problem is they work themselves into this hole now because the belts are together.
But New Japan, I feel like, has so many, like, different shows where, like, they can showcase, well, I mean, pre-pandemic, that they could showcase, like, to me, I don't know enough about New Japan like you guys do, but, like the Intercontinental title, to me, kind of felt, like, almost the same as the world, not the same, but like it felt like pretty important, and so does the U.S. title.
If I can correct myself, my dates were completely off. The IWGP U.S. The IWGP Intercontinental Championship will be 10 years old in May this year.
There you go. So 2011, it was introduced.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And it was.
I thought it was older than that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was crowned actually in Philadelphia. Where MVP beat Toriano in the finals of an 8-man tournament.
Was this at the ECW arena, or was this at the Spectrum or whatever? The course leads, whatever it's called now.
This is at the ECW arena, yes.
Wow, what a prestigious title.
I feel like New Japan can get away with having more titles, though. Like, I feel like they, if anyone can do it, they can do it.
Wasn't the whole story with Naito destroying it that he didn't like the championship and that it didn't deserve anything? Was that the story behind him destroying it?
I'd have to do some research. I'm not too sure about that.
I thought it was a whole disrespect thing that it wasn't worth anything.
I think I gotta look it up, but I think it was a more of like he felt he was being disrespected by the fans, so he wasn't going to show respect to their championship. Until he got the respect that he deserved, but I'll have to look into that.
Okay. What else we got for New Japan?
The New Beginning shows are on New Japan World. It's awesome. New Japan Strong kicked off another season. I think we talked about it last week. Dickinson made his debut. He's in Team Filthy now. Mysterioso beat Barrett Brown, and he says 2021 is going to be his year. TJP beat Adrian Quest, and it seems like they're going to do another, like... program that they did with Rocky Romero and Danny Limelight, where Danny Limelight's the young upstart and he's trying to beat the master. And it seems like TJP is going to fall into that veteran role. And then in the main event, the Bullet Club, Kenta ELP and Hikuleo beat ACH, Fred Rozier, and Blake Christian. And it seems like they might be set up El Phantasmo against Leo Rush. And next week's main event is Bateman against Ren Narita.
Matt, do you see Chris Dickinson making an impact in New Japan?
If this pandemic gets under control and Dickinson, and this is going to be a crazy fucking statement I'm about to make, but I think personally, this is just Matt Bowman, I think Chris Dickinson could go to Japan and have like a fucking... Gordy Steve Williams impact like that. He is a fucking hard hitting hoss of a man who loves the strong style. He's a student of the game. Like if he gets the opportunity to go to Japan, it will not be squandered. He'll make a huge impact.
Yeah. And that's why I asked the question, because I 100% agree. And I feel like Chris Dickinson was just like born to be in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was born to be in Japan. Like, and if God willing, this happens for him, I hope it does. I think that this guy is the absolute limit for Chris Dickinson in every sense of the word.
absolutely. I could see him going, you know, the Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega route, where he goes, he's obviously not from the country, but he goes there and he works there and then he ends up living there. Like, the fucking sky's the limit for him. I wish nothing but that for Chris Dickinson, because I think that would be awesome.
100%.
So that's essentially New Japan news. Well, as we get closer to the new beginnings, I know January 30th we get Shingo and Tony's boy Tanahashi for the NEVER Openweight Championship. And then the 3rd and the 4th we get some good matchups. And then the 10th and the 11th. It's a huge tour, and this will lead all up to the New Japan Cup. Ring of Honor at ROH TV this week. Flip Gordon beat Rhett Titus in a pure match, and Dragon Lee successfully defended his TV title against Rey Orris. But Ring of Honor released rankings.
Rey Horace Hogan?
Rey Horace Hogan.
I still think that's a very underrated line.
Now, I know Tony's not a big fan of the AEW rankings. Right?
Oh, boy.
There's a little more meat on the bone for these ROH rankings, okay? So they debuted the rankings on the TV show this week for the pure title and the TV title, okay? Now, ready for these? Now, just follow along, Tony Z. Wrestlers can only be ranked in one singles division. Anyone ranked in the top three of their division can challenge for that title if it's approved by the Ring of Honor Board of Directors. It was also said that a wrestler must submit a request to the Board of Directors for approval if they want to move to a different division than they were placed in. So those are the rules. There's a little more to it than the AEW rankings or the MLW rankings.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thoughts? So your
following?
So your pure title division has Tracy Williams as your number one ranked contender, Flip Gordon 2, Josh Woods 3, Rhett Titus 4, Fred Yee High 5. Now, Flip Gordon beat Rhett Titus by using a closed fist. It is illegal. You're only allowed to use one during the match, but he used the one. And post-match, it was found out that he was suspended from the pure title division.
Why? Because he used a fist?
Yes.
But isn't he allowed to use it?
He is allowed to use one.
So then why did they suspend him?
For storyline.
That's fucking stupid.
Well, he is the number one contender for the world title, and he talked about bringing in a tag team partner, which could get interesting.
Wait, so he's not even ranked for the pure title?
He was ranked number two.
But then now he's number one for the world title?
Well, he won the Battle Royal at Free Enterprise.
So you can just fucking win a Battle Royal and be the number one contender in a different division. Fuck the Ring of Honor rankings. Come on, dude. Do you realize you just said stupidity to me?
No. So Free Enterprise was the last big show they ran before the pandemic, so I think they're trying to... to play that out. So Flip and they showed it 2 weeks ago. So Flip is the number one contender for the. He has a title shot. He's not the number one contender. He has a title shot. The purpose of the Battle Royal was that the winner gets a title shot.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Great. Wonderful.
What other news do I have? We have who is in the Royal Rumble so far.
I don't like this. I try to avoid everyone being announced for the Royal Rumble.
All right, then I will avoid that. But they did announce WrestleMania 37 is going to be a 2-day event. There are talks. It's going to be in Tampa, and there are talks that they will have fans there. Now, how many fans is a whole different story. They also announced 38 will be in Dallas, 39 will be in California.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you watch football this weekend, they can do it. They can have fans at places. So,
sure.
I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, if you're going to do it for one thing, do it for everything. And if you're going to do it, just be safe. And at some point, it's going to have to happen. So if you think you can get away with it, oh, God, get away with it sounds so bad. But if you think you can do it safely this time around, knock yourselves out. Do it.
Tony, thoughts? They moved. They announced Elimination Chamber will be February 21st. They added,
oh yeah,
our favorite pay-per-view,
Fastlane?
Fastlane, March 21st.
Oh, yeah. Give me some Fastlane, baby.
And then
Put me on the highway. Put me on the highway in my Toyota RAV4, and I'll get on that Fastlane. I'll go all the way to the left. In the left lane is the Fastlane, baby.
And they added a Best of Luke Harper collection onto the WWE Network. So if you're looking to find some Luke Harper stuff, it's on the network. It's available for you.
And also the New Day the New Day podcast. Vehicle. Yeah, the podcast also was a very good tribute to Luke Harper. So.
The Dusty Road Classic is going on real fast. I'm going to blow through the teams. You tell me who you think will win. We got the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong. Breezango, which if you watch NXT on Wednesday night, you know Breezango is out. Tony Nese and Daivari. Ashante Adonis. I don't know who that is. And Desmond Troy.
Yeah. There are also matches on 205 Live, by the way,
yes,
as well.
Kushida and Leon Ruff, Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory, Ever Rise, which is Chase Parker and Matt Martel.
Dudley Boy Kids, I think.
The Grizzled, they were also 3.0 in Chikara, I think.
Maybe, right? They were trained by the Dudleys, right?
And Tony
they're
talked
from
to
Canada,
them.
Right?
Yeah. Rise, the yeah. Grizzled Young Vets, MSK made their debut, that's the Rascals, Swerve and Jake Atlas. Killian Dane and Drake Maverick.
That's the winners.
Yeah, you like Killian Dane and Drake Maverick?
Yes, I do.
Kurt Stallion and Austin Gray, who is Anthony Green.
They're out.
Imperium, Lucha House Party, Mendoza and Wild, and the Bollywood Boys.
I gotta go. I like Wild and Mendoza, but I gotta go Gargano in Theory. Right?
Yeah.
Like off the bat, like
I think I'm gonna go MSK. I'm gonna go Rascals.
You think they're gonna throw them all the way into this?
You bring them in, they're highly touted tag team. What better way to let them shine? Getting there with Birch and Lorcan.
Wait, are we talking about first round or the
no,
whole thing?
All the way to the end.
Yeah, I gotta go Gargano Theory.
And Tony, you like Killian Dane and Drake Maverick?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, now we'll get into some games. Tony, don't sit there like this is going long now. You invited Jack Wagon.
Don't give me shit. Fucking let's go. Let's keep the show
moving.
No,
no.
Why am I gonna stop every 10 seconds to give me shit about shit? Just fucking go.
Don't get all grumpy. You invited him.
Grumpy. It's for you and Kevin all night. Have been like Tony. What's the matter, Tony? What? Don't.
No.
Tony.
What did I
do? Call me, you fucking hump.
Yo, fuck you. You know what? I'll fuck. Shut the fuck up. What do you mean? What did I do?
Shut the fuck up. Big deal. Tony, T-Donk, you're fucking laying there scratching your eyes. You don't like Bear Country?
I was concerned.
Oh, fuck off.
I was concerned about you.
Nobody's concerned. I hope the fucking guy chokes on his fat lip because he's got a fucking Novocaine.
Nobody said
I didn't say that.
Not on air, you didn't.
No.
Not on air, you didn't.
I said it would be funny if you were like Kramer in that episode of Seinfeld where he had the too much Novocaine. That could be funny.
I'm rubbing my eyes. Are you guys okay with this?
I'm not. It concerns
me.
Kevin, you got a top five list this week, buddy?
Oh, baby, do I?
No more news and notes?
No, that's all I got, bro.
Let's ride. Oh, here it goes. Boys and girls, we are still right in the hunt for Royal Rumble season, and I'm continuing my top five as a list involving Royal Rumble. These are the top five, in my opinion, moments that tag teams have been involved in Royal Rumble. And I will say, and I will preface it, that the New Day is not in one of them, because I hated those quirky Kofi Kingston gimmicks after the first two. So these are top five tag team moments in the Royal Rumble history. They could be eliminations. They could just be moments in the match. They could be anything. Top five tag team moments in Royal Rumble history.
It has to involve the complete team, or can it be a member of a team?
The team. The team has to be involved in the moment.
I don't know what year, but I'm guaranteeing you the Dudleys did a Was Up drop at some point, no?
Yeah, they probably did, but that's not on the list.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I want to say it was 89, Axe and Smash, 1 and 2.
Matt, do you have any like crazy good music that you can play? Like awesome music? Because it deserves it. Because your first guess is number one.
Good one.
1989, Axe and Smash. I believe Axe is number one, Smash is number two. And they fight for a while, and then Andre the Giant is number three. And then, oh, such a great start to a Rumble. That is number one. That's probably the best tag team moment in Royal Rumble history. Axe and Smash, 1989. Rumble. This is going to be tough, by the way. This list is going to be tough. So if you have to power through, just let me know, and I'll just read them.
Matt, if you got another one, go ahead. I'm fucking drawing a blank.
Tag teams in the Royal Rumble.
Very impressed that you got number one right away, by the way.
I think that's the most memorable one.
Yeah. It's going to be tough.
Man, tag teams.
All right, what if I give you... I'll do this. I'll give a year. Then you guys can try to guess. So the number five is from 1991. That's number five. This is 1991.
Number five. Is it 91?
Yes, it is 91. Again, some of them, they're not like all like monumental moments, but they're just cool, fun moments that happened to involve a tag team in the Rumble.
Tony, do you have anything?
No, dude.
I'm going to throw something out there. Animal and Hawk eliminating The Undertaker.
Matt, that is number five. Okay. That is Undertaker 1991 coming in hot, big time star. Who could eliminate The Undertaker? The answer, the best tag team in the world at the time, the Legion of Doom. So there you go. That is number five. Hawk and Animal eliminating The Undertaker in 1991.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, I will give you a couple years here. I'll give you number four is 1996. Just because this is just a hysterical fun moment. And the tag team, this is going to give it away, tag team made their debut here. Both members of the tag team made their debut in 1996. I think I'm like 99.9% sure they never wrestled in WWE until this moment.
Is it the Blue Brothers?
Maybe a dark match, maybe a Raw, who knows? No, they were there, but they had nothing to do with this match. I think that was 95 actually, Matt. 95. I think Jacob or Eli was number three or something like that, but
all right, this is a long, long shot.
Just go to Wikipedia.
I'm thinking 96 tag teams. It's either the Smoking Guns or Well Done.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
Remember, these guys had not been on WWE TV until this moment.
Okay.
So think about that and just go to, if you want to go to Wikipedia, do it.
Is it Well Done?
No, it's not Well Done.
Wait, 96? No, they weren't on TV. It wasn't the fucking the Headhunters, was it?
Oh, T-Donk.
I feel like that was 97.
Nope, it was 96. It was when Shawn Michaels, it was when Vader debuted. So the Headhunter, one Headhunter comes in, gets eliminated. The other Headhunter meets him in the aisle as he's leaving. And they come back in to start fighting with Vader and Yokozuna. And then Vader and Yokozuna just toss them both out. So that is number four, the SWAT team, as they call them. That's another SWAT team member. They're identical twins. So that's number four.
All right. I dig that. That's a good one.
So now we have three and two. That's it.
All right.
All right. So three is 1993. Not a crazy moment. Not, you probably won't really remember it a whole lot, but I'll tell you, it is one tag team partner eliminating
the other?
1993?
That's right.
Hmm.
Some of these are kind of personally biased, and I actually crossed one off that was really personally biased. But to replace it with this one, actually.
Were they a tag team in 1993?
They were a tag team in 1993.
You said there's another one left?
Yes. I think this one, I think you guys should get the number two spot.
Ah! Number two, Twin Towers eliminate Hulk Hogan.
No. All right. Tony, great. Great guess. Thought about it. I just never really considered. Actually, you know what? That's a great guess, Tony. I probably should have put that in. Because it involves the Twin Towers, not the Mega Powers. So Twin Towers are a legit tag team. Probably should have put that in there. But it's not. So I'm sorry.
Wait, 1990, what was the year you said of the other one?
1993 and 2002 is the other one. Just so we can, you know, it's getting late, so we can just dive right in to 1993. One tag team member eliminating the other.
93?
Oh, yeah, baby.
And you said 2002. Nelly, get out of here.
LA
is not involved in this pick, in this list.
Let's look at the Hasbros. The Hasbros always give me inspiration.
Again, 93, not a great moment, not a monumental moment, but just something. It was one tag team partner eliminating the other. And
oh,
then
shit. Got
here's
it.
The spoiler. You guys want me, you want it. The real spoiler? Do you want the real spoiler?
No, got Tony it. Says he's got
Tony,
it.
If you got it, I'm going to give the spoiler first because I think you already have it. Because then the person that eliminated his tag team partner got eliminated by the eventual winner. I think so. I think Tony has it.
Yeah, it's Earthquake eliminated Typhoon.
That's right. Earthquake, Typhoon, stare down, Royal Rumble 1993, Earthquake eliminates Typhoon, and then Earthquake gets eliminated by Yokozuna, who eventually won. So 2002. Number two is left. And this is just, this is a whole lot of fun. It's like a whole series of events that happened.
2002, huh?
Yeah. They actually had a great moment in 2001 as well. This is. I thought this was going to be the most obvious one out of all of them.
The Undertaker,
except for Axe and Smash.
The Undertaker eliminating the Hardy Boys.
Yes, buddy, that's a part of it. Matt nailed it. Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Lita gets involved. They beat down Undertaker. This is American Badass Undertaker, and for weeks on TV leading up to this, Undertaker has been a thorn in their side, and I believe one of them makes a return in this match. Matt Hardy, maybe, after being sidelined by the Undertaker, and. They beat him up. Lita comes back in. They all get eliminated. And I believe this leads
to Maven?
To Maven eliminating the Undertaker. So that is number two. So your top five Royal Rumble moments involving tag teams. Number five, Hawk and Animal, the Legion of Doom, eliminating the Undertaker in 1991. Number four, the not the Samoan SWAT team, but the SWAT team, debuting, getting beat the hell out of by Yokozuna and Vader. Number three, Earthquake eliminating Typhoon. Number two, the Hardy Boys. Whole idea, whole segment with The Undertaker and Lita involved as well. And number one, 1989, Axe and Smash drawing numbers one and two. There you go, boys.
Nice.
That was a good list. I like that list a lot.
I became friends with Dan Spivey on Facebook and he quit Facebook.
Oh.
You're just ruining everyone's life today, aren't you?
I don't know why. People don't like me.
I know why. I can think of a thousand reasons.
Matt can think of at least one tonight.
Oh, yeah. Tony, you got a gimmick for us tonight?
Of course I do. It's time for another rousing edition of Can You Beat That?
I hate it.
Once again, it's Kevin taking on Matt. Skip the introductions. Blahs, blahs, blahs.
You know, anytime you want one of us to do it, we can do it. You just have
It's not that. I'm just trying. I mean, it's like, hey, Kevin, how are you? Hey, Tony, thanks. Hey, Matt, how are you? Hey, welcome back. I don't know. Everybody knows the rules.
That's radio, man. That's radio.
I know. I understand. But let's pretend like it's like tic-tac-toe and you guys are both like the returning champions. Like you came back next time.
I lose every week.
Well, all right. And Kevin came back again, but he's a glutton for punishment, people. All right, Kev. Since you lose every week, I'm gonna leave you the. I'm gonna give you the option first.
Let me get the notebook out. Hold on.
All right.
All right, we're good. We're good.
In fact, let me get a pen. You have a choice of gold for all, which is 11 possible answers.
Gold for all.
Or you have the Royal Rumblers 1990 edition.
Royal Rumblers 1990 edition.
13 possible answers.
Royal Rumbles 1990 edition.
Royal Rumblers. I don't know why I say Rumblers, but it's Rumblers.
This isn't going to be like who's dead, is it?
You have to ask me. You have to tell me which one you want first.
I said the Royal Rumble.
Oh, you want the Royal Rumblers?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, as of today's date, from the 1990 Royal Rumble, 13 participants are no longer with us.
You knew. You had to know.
You had to know. How many other 13 possible answers could there be? How many people do you think Tony could have been the fucking world champion?
Also, a good one.
Wait, we need some gameplay and music for this one. Let me get something good on here. What can we use? Let's use the shit. That's loud. I like this music because it's not as intense. We always save the intense for the third round if we get there. Fuck, I got to turn it up a little bit. All right, Kevin, whenever you're ready, give me how many you can answer.
I can name 5.
Matt, Kevin says he can name 5. Can you beat that?
I can name 8.
Matt's up to 8 already, Kev. What you got for me?
8. What do you say, 8?
He said 8.
I can name 9. I can name 9.
We're up to 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can name 12.
Shit, Matt taking it all the way up to 12. Kev. You're either running the table or you're letting Matt take one short.
Great, great point.
Kevin, while you think about that, please be sure to follow the Shining Wizards on all social media platforms at Wizards Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. And of course, if you have a couple bucks, please join the Patreon. We'd love to have you. ShiningWizards.com is our website, and ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards is the t-shirt site if you want to grab a couple of those sexy looking Shining Wizards t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, if you want to get in our Discord and chat it up with us, just head over to our Twitter at Wizards Podcast. There's a link right there in our profile, and join us, won't you?
Just so you know, Kate the Great is requesting a thought about a t-shirt. That might be next.
It's not my gimmick, though. I stole that from somebody else.
Okay.
We can make it.
I'm going to run the table, boys.
Oh, he's going to run the table.
Kevin is running the fucking table. I love it.
How many answers are there? You said there's 13?
13 participants in the Royal Rumble 1990 are no longer with us. You said you could run the table and name all 13. Kev, whenever you are ready, you can start answering.
Hercules?
Yes, Hercules died in 2004 at the age of 47. That's one.
Andre.
Andre died in 1993 at the age of 46. Two.
Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior died in 2014 at the age of 54. Three. That was 7 years ago already.
Holy yeah, it's crazy, right?
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, 2015 at the age of 69. Don't laugh. It's 4.
Wait, did I cross him? I had him twice. Oh, that could be bad. I have the same guy twice. That could be bad.
Jimmy Anvil Neidhart.
Jim Neidhart died in 2018 at the age of 63. That's five.
What am I up to? I'm five.
Not all right.
Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, died in 2003 at the age of 44. Six.
Jimmy Snuka.
Jimmy Snuka died in 2017 at the age of 73. More than halfway there, buddy.
Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo, 1993 at the age of 44.
Rick Rude.
Rick Rude, 1999 at the age of 40. You've got nine, Kev.
So I think that's 13.
Yep.
Yeah. Think, bud. You got it.
You got this.
Bad News Brown is in there, right? Because didn't him and Piper. Oh, him and Piper. Piper and Bad News Brown. Both of them.
Bad News Brown, 2007, the age of 63. Roddy Piper, 2015, at the age of 61. Kevin, you have 11. There's two left on the list.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Randy Savage died in 2011 at the age of 58. You've got one more to go, Kev.
This is going to kill me because I put Hercules twice. Akeem's still alive. Boss Man, was he in this? I don't think Boss Man was in this. Did I say Andre? I said Andre,
you did,
right?
Say Andre, yes.
I think Matt knows the answer.
That's the only name that's not checked on my list, so.
Oh. It's Earthquake.
Ladies and gentlemen, 2006 at the age of 42, Kevin runs the table. I love it. That's some good shit right there.
You guys realize I watch Royal Rumbles like every single week.
It's okay.
All right, brother. You take the lead. You ran the table, and you are up 1-0.
That was... running Hercules twice killed me.
Matt, you're going to need the point here to stay alive, and your topic is gold for all. All
right.
What could this possibly be?
These are 11 men... that won gold in ECW, WCW, and WWF/WWE. And we are not counting when WCW was owned by WWF. We are talking pure WWF championships, WCW championships, ECW championships. So no WWECW and no WCW under the WWF banner. These are strictly when those titles belong to three separate organizations. I've got 11 men who won championships in all three.
All three.
So if a guy won a WWE championship while he was a part of the, you know, the WCW invasion, that counts, right?
No.
But if he won a WWF belt as a WCW guy, that doesn't count?
No, none of the belts are under the banner of WWF. This is when ECW was separate, WCW was separate.
Okay.
Somebody may have won a belt under the WWF banner for another promotion, but they had to have done it outside of WWF's umbrella.
Gotcha.
So
it had to be an ECW championship during the run to 2000.
I misinterpreted the question. You're right. I got you.
And it had to be a WCW belt up to the run at the end of 2000, March of 2001, whatever it was. No WWECW belts count and no WCWWF belts count. Oh, I like that one. Matt, whenever you're ready, 11 possible answers. Let me know who you got. How many? Sorry.
Oh, my God. This is going to be tough.
So there's 11 guys that have won belts in all three companies, is what you're saying.
All three companies, yes.
I have four.
Kevin, we're starting off with four. Question to you.
I can get there, I think. All right, so it's a guy who's been in all three companies prior to any sort of merger, and they won a belt in each. So that would mean I could name. Holy shit.
And the sad thing is, I feel like we've done this before.
Nope.
And I still can't get it. I'll say five.
Matt, Kevin's up to five. What do you got?
I'll say six.
Matt's up to six. Kev, back to you. 11 possible answers.
I don't know if I can do six. I literally have only three written down right now. Oh, man. And you know what's killing me is the ECW thing is killing me. And trying to figure out who was with what, like who from ECW was in WWE and WCW. All right, so it's got to be this guy.
Yes, I agree with the chat group. WWE CW is the only one that matters, but they are not part of the question.
All right. All right. I'm getting something hit in my head. Or I'm getting somewhere.
Right.
So he definitely held that. He definitely held that. And this guy was never there. He was definitely there.
I like this. Kevin's reasoning out loud. Matt's diligently writing.
Matt's going to probably end up winning this just because of the ECW thing. I don't know.
Matt, number was six, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's where we're at, Kev. We're at six.
I know. And this is a tough question, Tony. So give me some time.
Yeah. Better than dead guys at the Rumble, right?
I mean, the Royal Rumble one I could do in the top. I can do forever, but this is tough. God, did he win a belt in ECW? Did this guy win a belt in WWE? Oh my God, Tony, you're killing me. I'm going to let Matt do it because I can't. I don't think I'm going to be able. I don't want to keep people and I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Matt, Kevin is backing off at six. 11 men have held gold in WWF, WCW, and ECW.
I'm going to kick myself.
Kevin gives it to you to name six, Matt, whenever you're ready.
He's going
to
do it easily.
Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit was an ECW tag, WCW World and others, and WWF World and others. That's one.
Wasn't even on my list.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, ECW tag, WCW tag, and various WWF belts. That's two.
Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas, ECW World and TV, WCW US tag, hardcore, WWF IC.
Wasn't even on my list.
Lance Storm.
Lance Storm, ECW tag, WCW Hardcore Cruiserweight US, all at the same time, by the way, WWF IC and tag champion. That's four.
Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko, ECW television and tag champion, WCW Cruiserweight US and tag, and WWF light heavyweight champion. That's five, Matt. You need one more.
Eddie Guerrero,
ECW TV, WCW Cruiser US, WWF Champion, and pretty much all the other belts. Congratulations, Matt.
Can I name a couple more that I thought of as Matt was reading?
Go for it.
Candido's got to be on there.
Candido's on there. ECW tag, WCW Cruiser, WWF tag.
Sandman's got to be on there. Hardcore
Sandman
titles.
Is not on there. Sandman did not win a title in WWF.
He was never the Hardcore Champion?
Nope.
No. Terry Funk, right?
Terry Funk, definitely. ECW World and TV, WCW US and Hardcore, and WWF Tag.
And I don't know if he ever held a belt at ECW, but I have Steve Austin on this list. I don't know if he...
Nope.
No?
Steve Austin never won it.
Yeah, so I would have been dead to rights. What about Mike Awesome?
Nope.
He never held a belt in He held a WWF Hardcore title. Held the WCW US title at least.
No. Nope.
And was world champion in ECW, no?
Never held a WCW title.
He never held a WCW title?
No.
Sure he wasn't the US champ?
No.
Huh? I'll take your word for it.
Anybody else?
Wasn't the hardcore champ there? Nothing?
Nope.
Mike Awesome? All right.
Nope.
I thought Steve Austin was the world champion in ECW.
No, he challenged Mikey Whipwreck and he lost.
That's right.
Whipwreck actually bragged about it. He beat Rey Mysterio and Steve Austin in the same weekend.
Oh, so would Rey Mysterio be on that list too, no? Or he never held a belt in ECW?
Nope. No.
Raven is on the list.
Raven's on the list. ECW World and Tag, WCW Lightweight, US Tag Belt, and WWF Hardcore Champion.
Jerry Lynn? No.
No, he never went on WCW title.
Maybe nope. JL. I thought maybe he snuck one in there.
The other two are, one of them you should get. The other one might be a little.
Super Crazy?
Nope.
No, he was never in WCW.
You're not counting, you're not saying Maraca, are you?
No. Never WCW.
Just making sure. I didn't know if it fell under the NWA banner.
Nope, WCW. Come on, question, boys. Question.
How many more are we missing?
Two.
Two.
One is very obvious.
It's not Dreamer. Dreamer was never in WCW.
Nope.
Stevie Richards?
Nope. All right, I'm going to move it along because we got a tiebreaker to get to. Perry Saturn was ECW Tag, WCW Tag and TV, WWF Euro and Hardcore Champion. And the last one that neither one of you, I'm surprised, Chris Jericho. ECW TV belt, a ton of WCW belts, and of course your WWF Undisputed and a bunch of other belts.
Yeah.
We are tied at one, and I've got a hell of a third question for you boys tonight, so I gotta get the music going for this one.
Crack a beer real quick here.
Let's get this. Get the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thinking music for this one.
Yeah, I was nowhere near.
All right.
Once Matt mentioned like Benoit, I was like, shit. Like, there's a lot of people that came into my head after he did that.
This one's called Multiple Soul Survivors.
Ooh, gimmick match pay-per-view question.
Kevin, I'm going to let you go first, but here's the question. In the history of the Survivor Series traditional matches, seven men have been the sole survivor in at least two of the matches they have been involved in. Seven men, sole survivor in at least two of the matches they were involved in. And when I say sole survivor, they were the last man standing and got the winning fall with no one else on their team.
All right, this is actually a lot tougher than I thought.
Seven men have done it at least twice. Kevin?
All right, yeah. I mean,
you start.
All right. I'll throw one out right away just to buy me some time. I'll say Hogan.
I thought we were doing how many can you get?
Yeah, we're doing how many, Kev.
Oh. Sorry about that. One.
Matt, Kevin says one. I don't know what to say.
I can do four.
Matt can do four.
I think.
This is not an easy question. This is a fucking tiebreaker question. Kev, Matt's up to four.
I'd see the whole thing is the pressure of actually doing it now is tough. And this is like my second favorite pay-per-view to the Rumble. So I should be able to get it. But do we have the time for me to want to wait and do it? Because we're talking about almost, you know, 25, 30 years of pay-per-views here. Matt's quicker on his feet than me, so he's probably going to get this regardless.
That's up to four.
They've been the last person.
Sole survivor, at least twice.
You know what? This is going to become like a very depressing part of this game when I just throw in a towel really early. I think we got to fix that, but I'm throwing in the towel and I'm going to let Matt do it.
Four, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I have all seven.
Whoa!
Well, you don't need them. I'm doing a towel, so just go four. Don't be a big shot.
Possible answers?
I want to challenge my brain.
All right, hold on one second. Let me just lower the music just a tad. Matt, seven men have won at least, have been the sole survivor in Survivor Series matches at least twice. You said you can name four.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Hogan.
Hogan did it twice. Once in 1989 as the captain of the Hulkamaniacs, last pitting Ted DiBiase, and in 1990 as the Hulkamaniacs over the natural disasters, last pitting the Barbarian. That's one.
Savage.
ladies and gentlemen, yeah, your new winner.
I was going to say, yeah.
Captain Garifo.
Woo.
Savage. What?
Yeah, what matches were you even thinking of?
What?
I know Warrior is on the list.
I don't even know if
Warrior
he
is on the list. Warrior is a
three-time survivor.
Okay. Pinned Greg Valentine and Ron Bass in 1988. Pinned Bobby Heenan and Arn Anderson in 89. And it defeated the Perfect Team in 90, defeating Mr. Perfect. Definitely on the list. Who else did you have?
I had the Nasty Boys. Does that count?
No.
All right.
Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
But it was one. Maybe if it was one of those gimmicks where if the one person is eliminated, the other person goes too.
No, they had to do it twice. Who else did you have?
I had Perfect.
No.
Perfect was not on the list. Sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking I overshot the Soul Survivor, and I just went with people who have been on the winning teams.
Oh.
So I had Warlord, I had Dino Bravo, I had Tito Santana.
None of them are.
No, they soul had survivors. To have been the Soul Survivor at least twice. Wow. And you know what? I'm kind of mad now. I thought that this question would have gotten something more. But
I feel like
it's a hard question.
It's a hard question. And like, I feel like if there's like a Roman Reigns or a Seth Rollins on there, I would have never guessed it just because of the recency of it. And how,
Kevin, it's funny you mentioned that because Roman Reigns is on there. He won in 2013 with the Shield over Cody's team. He last pinned Rey Mysterio, but also eliminated Goldust 2-1.
Yeah, he was.
And in 2019, Team SmackDown over Team Raw and Team NXT when he pinned Keith Lee to be the Soul Survivor.
Yeah, Hogan and Roman Reigns are the only two people I had, to be honest.
Okay, you want the other four?
Yes.
All right. Ric Flair was 1991. It was a five-way disqualification.
Oh, my God.
Him as the final.
You're going back to like the match where like him, Piper, Sergeant Slaughter, and Dust, and Ron Simmons?
The Legends like versus that. The Spirit Squad. He defeated Johnny, Kenny, and Mikey to be the Soul Survivor for his team. That was 2006. The Rock, 1996, defeated Goldust and Crush on his debut match at Survivor Series. Yeah. And in 2001, pinned Stone Cold Steve Austin, Team WWF, defeating Team Alliance.
Oh, God.
There's more.
I know.
The Ultimate Warrior we got. The other one that you might not have gotten, Dolph Ziggler. In 2012, Team Ziggler beat Team Foley when he last pinned Randy Orton. And in 2014,
Corporation with Sting.
Team Cena beat Team Authority when he beat Luke Harper and Seth Rollins to win the Ultimate Survivor in that match, the Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
And last but not least,
That's when Sting made his WWE debut.
Warrior did it back to back to back in 88, 89, 90. Randy Orton did it in 2003, 2004, and 2005. In 2003, he pinned Shawn Michaels when Team Bischoff beat Team Authority. Team Orton beat Team Triple H when he beat Edge and then eliminated Triple H for the final elimination. And Team SmackDown over Team Raw, where again he pinned Shawn Michaels. Those were your seven. 2-1. Congratulations, Kevin. You won the game tonight.
I'll take it. I think just because the Royal Rumble questions are right in my wheelhouse, so I'll take it. Matt, great job on the.
That was a good one. That was a tough one, Tony. That was a real tough one.
Yeah, that was tough, very tough. Because you got to remember, God, you get, like, the older we get, the more pay per views there are,
really,
the more versions of these shows there are, and how much you could possibly forget about what happens on one of them or the other.
Seriously.
That was really fucking tough, though.
That was a good one. Is that all we have for the night, boys? Oh, sorry,
Kevin's
Tony.
Kevin's strategy worked because you kind of like didn't really think about the answer.
Yeah, I heard what I wanted to hear, and I went a completely different direction.
It wasn't a strategy. I honestly had no clue.
Yeah, but sometimes that pays off when you like, okay, I have no clue. Let's see what Matt can do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Tonight it worked.
That rhymed, you dunk.
Fucking awesome.
Fucking A. Well, next week we have Kayla Sparks joining us, so yes, be sure to tune in. What time is Kayla? 7? 7:30?
7:15, I think?
7:15 Eastern. Yes. Be sure to tune in on rantiumradio.com and facebook.com/wizardspodcast. You can watch us live. Chat us up in the Facebook. Of course, the Discord, the link is at Wizards Podcast on our Twitter machine. Just click it, and you can join the show. at Wizards Podcast across all social media platforms. I guess thanks to Francis Wright for calling in tonight, as annoying as that was.
Thank you, Francis.
And yeah, Hard to Kill was awesome, and I guess I got nothing else to say. We'll be back next week with another humdinger of a show from your friends at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
See, I didn't do the stupidity, then you should be happy about that.
Yeah, but you mentioned the stupidity, so that's just the same.
What stupidity, Kevin? Good night, Gracie?
There it is.